This week, the first infamous shared Mario Maker level has emerged, and it will never give you up and never let you down, but does it turn around and delight you? Maybe we need a time to Rickroll counter. This is just one of many stories we'll tell you about, and they all start right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Forge Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, episode number 612 for this August the 30th of 2015. And yes, I think Jason just Rickrolled us all in the intro. I do believe that is a thing that has just happened all these years later, because Rickrolling is what, so 10 years ago? Maybe not. Maybe not, as we get into the news tonight and figure that out later. I'm just cracking up that he did that. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you here in Studio N7 in lovely Sacramento, California, with my co-host here tonight. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Yes.
I hope you had a decent week off last week. I know you were taking care of other obligations, but welcome back.
Yeah.
You were complaining earlier about this abundance of Red Bull. The Red Bull giveaway stuff. How do you drink so much Red Bull without having heart problems?
I don't drink a ton of it. I drink one a day.
That's
just one.
That just seems like a lot. It's not.
It's like a coffee.
All right.
You drink a coffee a day?
Fair enough.
It's basically what it is. It's not like it's a ton of caffeine. And really, it's what I need to stay awake because, like, I seriously, earlier before coming over, I was just like working on the computer and I was like passing out from being so tired. So that's how I stay awake.
All right. So that's fine, I guess, you know, especially when you consider that, you know, you got the kids and everything. I'm sure they keep
and I stay up way too late. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm literally drinking coffee as he's talking about his Red Bull thing, so I guess I can't complain.
It's not like I'm drinking like four or five of them a day or something like that. One a day and
shotgunning
that's
them where you did the hole in the bottom.
I can shotgun them, but yeah, it's I drink one usually in the morning right when I get to work to kind of just because like I literally am dragging myself into work and it just kind of keeps me awake.
Okay,
and then like on Sunday, you know, I drink one in the evening because I've been with the kids all day and it's just, you know, gotta stay awake.
But because of this, now, you know, of course, we've talked about this weeks ago on the show, but the whole fact that they are giving away crap in Destiny, the video game, they're giving it away with this Red Bull stuff.
Yeah.
You're just plucking all these tabs.
Oh, yeah. I've got like six of them at my desk at work.
What was that old urban legend about? Because my dad was super into that. You pluck the tabs off of soda cans, and it's what they use for dialysis treatment or something like that, like the money for recycling them. I swear to God.
I know what you're talking about because they have one of those collection things at my work. It's for something. Yeah. Have where you can turn them in for,
right?
I don't know.
So, like, you've got this going at your house, except it's Destiny codes.
Yeah, Destiny codes, which is funny because I still haven't played Destiny. I have it sitting there since day one that I bought my PlayStation 4. Haven't touched it. That and Watch Dogs. Both just sitting there completely unused.
So, what are you going to do with all these codes?
Probably give them away because I can't do anything with them. I mean, I can only redeem one.
Awesome.
I don't know what it says. It's like for a, let's see here. It says become legend with Flamesword at RedBullQuest.com.
Read the code. Read the code on that tab right now.
On this tab?
Make somebody a winner right now.
All right. So we've got X4FF. W47X. That's you redeem that at RedBullQuest.com.
All right. Now you can safely throw that can away.
I can safely throw this can away, and I've got three more in the bag for the rest of the week that have these codes on them, plus all the ones on my desk. So I still don't know what the hell it does, but there you go.
It's a flame sword, I think.
I guess. I haven't played Destiny since the beta, so I don't know.
All right. Not joining us tonight, unfortunately, is Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She has the night off. You might have heard her mention last week. She is off celebrating her anniversary this weekend. It's actually her 10-year anniversary with Dan the Man. They are seeing Weird Al tonight in
Damn it,
Folsom.
That's awesome.
I know. I was like, wait a minute.
Folsom?
I know, right? I was like,
where?
Weird Al's in Folsom. That was the first question I asked. Like, where is there a concert venue in Folsom? It's at the college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I know. Why are we doing a show right
exactly.
now?
Exactly. We should have gone and saw Weird Al.
I had no idea that was a thing until Jamie was like, yeah, Dan.
Oh, man, next
Dan
time.
And I have meet and greet tickets, and then we're going to Reno because I'm
special.
Oh,
and they get to meet him, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, if you know the story about Dan and Jamie, I almost said Jamie and Jan. If you know their story, they got engaged over the movie UHF. So Weird Al is of a particular significance to this. So the fact that he's touring right now and is here in the town is pretty awesome. So it all worked out great for them. But we do have you guys. You guys are here in our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. And let's see, Nascent Games. Our buddy Gabe with Nascent Games is listening live tonight and in the chat. He was on the show a few weeks ago saying, whoa, Weird Al's in Folsom? What the fuck? And I'm listening to this show. Hashtag nerd priorities. Exactly. We have a guest who hasn't changed her name in chat, Vog267, who says, you're better than Weird Al. Aw, that's a very nice thing to say. I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. Weird Al's pretty awesome. Especially, he did a great job with his last album, The Mandatory Fun and all that.
That was pretty good.
You know, actually, another local connection. I understand that, you know, because he did, like, every song on that album he did a video for, right? And he put them all out, like, all at once, right? Well, the one for Word Crimes, which, like, to make that song good, like, that's what Weird Al does. He takes those annoying songs and makes them, like, good. So he did the Word Crimes. You know how it was, like, an art-type video, like a word art video, lyrics video?
Uh-huh.
Apparently the guy who did it was here in Sacramento.
Huh.
Huh. Who knew? Who knew? So we have all this art and stuff coming out of Sacramento.
And ActDef was the one that got the code.
There it is. Oh, there you go. Congrats, ActDef, in our chat room. Does ActDef even own Destiny?
Who cares?
I thought he was a Wii U guy. Well, that's all right. Okay, he says he does. There it is. That's fine.
Someday I'll play it again. Or for the first time, I guess.
Salty is in our chat room. Salty Vog says, ew, Sacktown, so bad. Hey, you know what? First off, this isn't Horde House. Sorry, you're on the wrong show. And second off, it's not so bad. You get used to Sacktown. I think most people have bad memories of Sacktown because they took a pit stop here on the way to Oregon or something from LA, or like you stopped through here on the way to San Francisco or something.
We're outside of Sacramento. I mean, it's just like we're not in the
middle.
We're
in suburbia. It's not that much different. Suburbia here is not that much different from suburbia in LA, except you can actually afford a home here. Kind of.
And I agree. I mean, I don't like driving down in Sacramento either. I mean, it's just whatever.
All right. Going to another comment brought up in our chat here. Dark Tetsuya, starting us off tonight, actually talking about some games here. Dark Tetsuya says, why the hell can't I join a winning team for Splatfest? How many of y'all are playing Splatoon out there? This weekend was the big, I don't know if it's sponsored or licensed or what, but there was a commercial tie-in, this Splatfest, because instead of cats and dogs or, what was it, water slides and roller coasters and all that stuff, this time it was Autobots and Decepticons. It was a Transformers theme. And a lot of my friends signed up for the Autobots. So what did I do, Loki?
Decepticons?
That's right. I signed up for Team Decepticon, and sure enough, we won! Yay! I finally, my second only Splatfest, because I was lazy and missed like all but the first one, and I'm on the winning team for a change, so that was pretty exciting. And I actually did, I guess we'll get into my Game of Week a little bit, I actually did spend a little bit of time in Splatoon. I leveled up enough to get, like, there's the base level, 10 points, the second level, you get 25 points, that next level. So I, you know, it wasn't a lot. I'm sure some of you guys leveled all the way up to, like, whatever the maximum thing was for Splatfest. But still, I put a little more into it than I usually do on Splatoon. But I was having quite a bit of fun. You know, Splatoon is just a fun little waste of 5 minutes. And I mean that when I say waste, I mean that in the best possible way. Like, just, you know, jump in and do a little head-to-head battle. And there's not a lot of shit talking because, you know, you can't. And that's that. But the Splatfest thing is kind of cool because they mix it up with some custom music, and they make the lobby all different. And, you know, with the Miiverse posts, everybody gets really into it, no matter how stupid the debate is. So you saw all this stuff for Team Autobot and Team Decepticon and all this stuff. And, yeah, that was fun. I was happy to take part in that. So I had a good time in the game there. Going into our chat room again at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya says, I was going to miss it, but I borrowed my stepmom's account to play and tried to get Team Autobot some wins. Well, you needed to get him a few more wins, my friend. let's see. Also, ActDef says, I got to Autobot's King rank. You know, I thought that there was going to be a big victory for Decepticons in the popularity, because I noticed in one of the matches I got, it was Decepticons versus Decepticons. And I was like, oh, dang. So I,
whoever wins, we win.
That's right. And I was kind of like, oh, well, there must not be enough Autobots in the pool because now it's matching up Decepticons and Decepticons. But I guess Shane was telling me the same thing was happening on the Autobots side. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess
it's just somebody just kind of messed up that network code there a little bit.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing to push people into a match if nobody else is available, is they just match you up with somebody on the same team, and it's kind of a win no matter what. I don't know how that math all works. I don't think they've really said a lot about that. But so
what they should do then is they should just lie. And so, you know, if you're Autobots and the other team's Autobots, you just say they're Decepticons. And then on their side, they see that you're Decepticons. Mm. And that way it seems like there's competition.
Going to our chat room for some more comments over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDef says, Sky, in Europe, it was singing versus dancing, and the top dancing rink was Dancing Queen. LOL. That's amazing. That's amazing. I hope it actually played the ABBA song, although that licensing was probably a little bit too much for that. I don't know. That is interesting. They do. That's right. I forget. They do the different Splatfests in different countries, so it's not the same thing everywhere. Like, Europe gets one, and Japan gets a different one. I wonder what Japan had. I'm sure somebody in chat knows. Team singing versus team dancing. I don't know what I'd pick. Team stand in the corner awkwardly with my drink. Is that one of the teams I can do?
Team Super Sentai versus Team Kaiju.
ActDef says Japan's Splatfest was ants versus grasshoppers, and grasshoppers won. Ew, bugs.
Ew. Grasshopper should win because ants are stupid.
Well, grasshoppers are pretty cool because isn't that the one where, like, the female bites the head off the male when they're mating, that whole thing?
I think you're thinking of praying mantises.
Ah. Clear. This is why I got a D in biology, people. All right. I didn't have a lot of kickoff topics for tonight. We have a lot of gaming news, so we'll get into that in just a minute. But obviously, there's a lot of convention stuff going on. I didn't even realize that PAX Prime was this weekend until I started seeing the tweets about it. Because, you know, if you're not on there getting the tickets in the 10 minutes that are available, then you're not going, right? That's the way those things work. So I just kind of didn't pay attention to it because I just assumed that PAX was going to be Labor Day weekend again because it's still a 4-day con, if I'm not mistaken. So I just assumed it was going to be Labor Day weekend again. And, you know, in the past few years, I've chosen to go to Dragon Con. I've had a fantastic time at Dragon Con. I think, as we've expanded into all realms of geek here at VogNetwork.com, I think Dragon Con's a better fit. And I can read from friends and news sites what's going on at PAX. And I've talked about some of my own grievances with PAX East on the show previously. I'm not going to get into it again. But anyway, I just assumed I wouldn't have been able to go to PAX Prime because it would be at the same time as Dragon Con, but not this year. It's actually going on right now, and a lot of the news we're going to get into tonight, a lot of it is stuff that's actually coming out of PAX. Loki, it's been a while since you've gone to a con at all, right? Was PAX 08 like the last thing you ever did as far as cons go?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe. Yeah, that may have been the last one. I can't remember if we did E3 after that or not.
I don't consider E3 a con because E3 technically is a trade show where cons are usually more fan run, which PAX kind of isn't. So I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. PAX 08 was probably the last one.
All right. So, but anyway,
it's been 7 years. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Well, you should go to the SAC Anime here locally this weekend if you can stop by there. Because
oh,
I know
that this weekend?
That. Yeah, it's this weekend. They do that.
Yeah,
already.
I don't have the money.
Yeah. Black Wolf making the distinction a little bit in our chat room. Trade shows are for industry. Conventions are for the public.
Whatever. They treat me like public when I go to the trade shows anyway. So,
well, you know, interesting, too, is that E3, there's always those rumblings that it's going to go public or they're going to make one day public like Tokyo Game Show or what have you.
Oh, goody.
Well, a lot of that started to pick up steam this year with
I was
the whole
like, damn,
vendor,
you know,
vendor badges.
Those Nintendo lines are only 5 hours long. It's so short. If only we could have more people here. I mean, there's just not enough people. I can actually move and breathe. Yes, please, let's make it public. That'd be awesome.
Nassen Games in chat says, too many effing cons. And then says, but I will be attending Geek Girl Con in Seattle to show off our games, which I'm super hyped about. That's another con in Seattle. even. So, and
Geek
I know,
Girl Con?
Yeah, I had not heard of that one, but I bet that's a lot of fun. Geek Girl Con.
That.
What's that?
I think I could probably get behind that.
There's that. There's PAX. There's the Sakura Con, which I know is more anime, but you know video games creep into that. So they're pretty bustling up there in the Northwest. It's pretty cool. Bonds 006 says, I've been to trade shows and cons here in New York at Jacob Javits Center. There is a difference. I detest cons, but mostly work at trade shows. Very interesting. So, all right. Those are some comments from our chat room on conventions. Of course, Dragon Con, I will be there this next week in Atlanta. So check that out. Vogue making a few appearances. Unfortunately, I am not on the up and up on any panels that our TV folks are on. I missed if they mentioned if they're going to be on any panels. But I know Brian from British Invaders is at the con again this year, which he usually only goes every other year. So there must be something bringing him back this year. Our pal from British Invaders, he's going to be there at the show. I know John from Critical Myth at least will be there. Gary's always there. So they're going to be at the show. I don't know if John's on any panels this year. Stay tuned to our website. I'm going to make everybody round that up in the forums. So if you're going to Atlanta, you want to meet and greet people, you can go check that out. I can say, though, that I will be on a panel Sunday at 1 o'clock about the podcasting past, present, and future. And that's Hilton. I think the room is 203. It's where the podcasting track is. So check that out. I will be on that panel. If you can't be there in Atlanta, you can listen online. Alpha Geek Radio, kind enough to and you know what's so funny? I see the same guy from that network at so many cons that I go to, live streaming stuff. They're working hard over there to bring these cons out there to the universe. Because I saw them at BlizzCon, too, during the World of Podcasting last year. So I thought that was really funny. I was like, I know you. I see you at Dragon Con. So there's that. So you can listen to there at Alpha Geek Radio. And then Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern, Bobby is going to be on a panel about community. And obviously we love community and getting people's input and so forth here at Vogue. So that's a great fit for Bobby to be talking on that panel Monday at 10 a.m. I will also be in the parade. I'm going to be marching with Travis Donovan from Understation Live. And we are part of the N7 Elite. If you've been following the past few weeks here on Orange Lounge Radio, I have been getting a costume made. And I am going to Dragon Con this year as Joker. And I do plan to dress up the day of the parade, which I think is Saturday, question mark. I'm probably going to wear my costume Saturday no matter what. If the parade is Sunday, then I'll just wear it Sunday morning as well. I don't even care. But yeah. Oh, you didn't even see it when you came in, did you, Loki?
No.
Oh, hold on, guys. I got to show Loki. Here's the thing. I'm not showing it to anybody until Dragon Con. But since I know Loki's not going to be there, hold on. I'm going to show him. So entertain our listeners here. Live radio, folks. And if you want to participate with us, live.vognetwork.com.
And the best part about this is he's going to show me a costume for a character I have no reference for. So I'm just going to assume that, you know, this is an impressive costume because I have no idea, since I don't play Mass Effect at all, who the hell Joker is aside from, you know.
Here it is.
Okay. Cool.
There's another part to it.
All right. I'll take your word for it. I don't have any idea whatsoever. You know, it looks good. Sorry, I don't know.
Well, there it is, you guys. My costume is a screaming success. There it is, Loki.
I'll just have to look up a picture of Joker and to kind of get the.
Oh my God! Awesome. All right. There it is. Oh, Bobby says I missed the panel posting. My bad. I guess I missed that over on our forum. So, wow, the Critical Myth is doing a ton of panels this year. John is going to be on an Arrow panel Friday from 10 to 11 over at the Marriott. Game of Thrones, The Dark Time, he's going to be on that panel as well Friday from 2:30 to 3:30. And then Gary is going to be talking about binge watching, which I know is a habit for so many people, how binge watching makes us all TV geeks. That's Saturday at 2:30. And then also a panel on The Flash. What kind of hero are you going to be on that panel?
Okay,
well.
I guess that That's sort awesome. Of looks like the character. Yeah, I see it now.
Oh, did you pull it up? There's another top piece I didn't show you that makes that oh. armor piece on top uh-huh. of the shoulders. So, yeah.
All right, cool. Huh.
Anyway, whew. All right. Anyhow, so there you go. That's Dragon Con coming up. We're going to have a great time there. So I hope to see you guys in Atlanta. We don't have like a formal Vogue meetup, because usually we don't know enough people that are going to justify something like that. But maybe in the future. I don't know. Maybe next year. So I'm really going to try to get Grandpa from Horde House to go to Dragon Con next year, because I'm not going to have Travis swears up and down it's his last year. I really wish it wouldn't be, but you know, I understand with some of his personal obligations and so forth, he may mean it this time. I'm secretly hoping it'll be like a year or two break and then he'll be back. But anyway, so since I'm going to be absent of Travis, I need to figure out something. So I'm going to really try to get Grandpa to go to Dragon Con next year, because I know he wants to do it. Because I was telling him, I'm like, Grandpa, Garrett Wong goes like every year. You could meet him at the Walk of Fame. They have a whole track dedicated to Star Trek. You could nerd the fuck out on this thing the whole weekend.
And the Mythbusters go. So that's, yes. I would love to see them, but you know.
Exactly. So that's my goal. My 2016 goal is Grandpa from Horde House or whatever project may be in the near future, to get him at Dragon Con. So, and I'm sad that I won't have Travis in 2016, but we're going to make the best of 2015. So, there you go. All right, so there you go. Conventions. We're going to get into our gaming week, but, you know, going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. I notice they are talking about something else now. It kind of got derailed a little bit, but for good reason. Apparently, coming from Twitter, and it's a verified Twitter account, Wes Craven has passed away. The horror movie director. That's very sad to hear that.
All those scary. He's going to come back some evil. I know it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first one to make a tasteless joke right here, everybody. Right here. Thank you for that, Loki. I appreciate that. But no, well, I mean, I know he was an older guy, but I didn't know he was battling health issues or anything like that. So
yeah, we never know.
Yeah, well, that's sad. Sorry to hear about that. Anyway. Nassen Games in chat says, LOL, he went there. Yeah, he tends to do that. Jerk. All right. Let's get into our gaming weeks and talk about what types of video games we have been playing this week. And then we will get into the gaming news right after that. So, Loki.
Mostly I've been working on my game. The beginning portion of the week was just designing a logo, which I didn't like too much. So I showed it to Cody, and he kind of took it and did something better with it and sent it back to me. So I now have a logo for my, quote, company. You know, haven't registered anything or anything like that. But, you know, you can't just, like, say I made the game. And then I was working on setting up leaderboards as well, online leaderboards. So I'm just doing the PHP stuff right now for that. Mainly I was trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to have on the leaderboards if I was going to do like some sort of scoring system too, along with the times. So I just kind of built that all in there and stuff. And I'm going to have Twitter support as well. So not necessarily linking to Twitter, but you can put your Twitter, you know, name on there, and then you'll just like have a hyperlink to your Twitter account or something like that if you want to. And then now actual games I played. I didn't play a whole ton. A lot of just older stuff. My son keeps playing Lego Marvel Super Heroes, so I play a little bit of that. Mainly just glitching out the game now, because there's an super easy way to get under the map, so I've just been messing with that. And I don't know. I'm kind of getting bored with it now after 200 hours of the game. So what else? Playing some Steam backlog stuff. So I had purchased, you know, that Namco bundle from Humble Bundle because, like, ooh, Ridge Racer, you know, I wanted to play that Ridge Racer Unbounded game or something like that. It looked pretty cool. It was done by Bugbear. That game runs like shit on my computer. I, like, loaded it up. I'm like, nope, delete right away. It's just, it ran terribly. And I'm surprised. Like, I can run, you know, Titanfall okay. Why can't it run this game that's, you know, much older and much shittier? I don't understand. But for whatever reason, just didn't run very well. Also, I think I had mentioned I played Bionic Commando. I don't really remember when that was, but that, and I'm talking about like not Rearmed, you know, the good one. I played the 3D Bionic Commando. Just and for some reason, I remember enjoying it a lot more than I did this time around. But it was terrible. It's just such a terrible game. And it's not like a terrible game just in general, it's just the controls were shitty. So I don't know what was wrong with that. Then, for some stupid reason, on the streak of really fucking terrible games I decided to play, I decided, hey, you know what? I played Fuel one time. Let's load that up again from Codemasters, their big open world sort of racing game. God, that game is so boring. Like, it was, like, I don't remember how boring that game was, but man, I went back there to play that.
I remember playing it not thinking it was horrible, but I do remember it was, like, really
open, but it's just really boring. There's, like, nothing there. And so I played it for, like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or so, and I was just like, I can't play this anymore. It's just so terrible. So what else did I play? I think a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5 because my son wanted to see me do some BMX stuff in there. So I did that. And then I think I played that Sakura Clicker game a little bit just for the hell of it. It's just basically, you know, was it Clicker Heroes with, you know, anime chicks in it. And then what else? I think that was just about it. Maybe a little bit of Minecraft. But nothing that's really caught my attention. I mean, I don't know. I just realized, you know, Mad Max is coming out this week. I kind of wanted to try that out because, you know, I'm a pretty big fan of the company that made the game. But I don't know. I just don't have the money.
That's a problem. There's all these games that come out and then not enough money to play them all.
Yeah.
I understand how it goes. All right, let's see, some feedback on your gaming week in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Nascent Games, our buddy Gabe, is asking, Loki, when the shit are you bringing your game to our demo feedback night and or our next game jam?
I would love to. No, seriously, I was looking at your progressive game jam stuff, and I like the idea that it's over the course of 9 months, but here's the thing. It's like I can't get away from my house. Like the timing, unfortunately, is not working for me, just my new schedule and everything. Like I work until 7:15 at night. And then that's it. I come home and I can't really leave the house because my wife's like, well, I've been watching the kids all evening and you can't go anywhere.
So it's kids and it's we're lucky family. We're lucky to have you here at OLR.
Yeah, if family wasn't there, then yeah, sure, I'd love to come out to, you know, the gaming night and do all that stuff and also to the progressive game jam. I'm really interested in that, but I just can't go to that. And it's disappointing. Like, because I think it'd be a lot of fun, but I just can't go because I am trapped in my house and at my work. So that's about it.
All right. Well, let's talk about my gaming week. Let's see. What have I been up to this week in games? Actually, quite a bit. I've been getting back into doing some live streams. I did a few live streams of Final Fantasy XIV. I did some Rocket League. I think I did Diablo the other night. Just, you know, the typical type of stuff I might play in a week. I was giving a little bit of testing to the YouTube games because, you know, that just launched this week. I just wanted to see kind of like what were the differences, what were some of the pros and cons.
I don't know why people had such trouble finding gaming-related videos on YouTube. I've never had that problem before.
I've never had that problem either.
It was like, we've solved the problem you never had.
Yeah. I think they just want to compete with Twitch, which I understand. I've been saying for forever on the show, Twitch needs a viable competitor, and I just think anybody that's really tried to compete against them is usually just type of like, it hasn't. I know there's been Hitbox and some other things, but nothing's really, really kind of stepped up with that volume the way that, you know, now YouTube has.
I am liking the fact that they totally are incorporating the live content ID system. I mean, that's awesome that it just fucks up your shit live.
Well, but I haven't had any problem with it yet. I mean, I don't know. You know, again, I haven't tried to play a Nintendo game, but it seems fine so far. Nothing's happened incorrectly yet. And, you know, there's a lot of games being run by a lot of these other streams that don't seem to be having issues. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I think that whole content ID on the go or a live thing is a little bit like, I don't know about that.
I don't even know how the hell that would work. I mean, is it just going to be looking for music or something? I mean, I don't...
I'm assuming it's looking for music, which, to be fair, Twitch has their own. I mean, they don't do it live, but, you know, they mute the whole on-demand things if there's the copyrighted music in there, which, you know, can screw up if you're playing a game that just happens to have some licensed music in the background. So that can sometimes be unfortunate. But I don't know. So I feel like I got some really good quality out of the YouTube streams because I know YouTube will do up to 60 frames a second, and I feel like the Rocket League one especially that I did over there looked really, really good. So I was getting some good quality. But Twitch, I think Twitch also right now has some better discoverability. Like I think their friends list is really robust, and they have a tendency to be able to kind of feature things based – I feel like – on YouTube right now, they're featuring all the same people, and it's all the same channels. It's all the ones that already have millions and billions of subscribers, but on Twitch, you're more likely to find a channel you haven't heard of yet. And so I think that's why right now I kind of prefer Twitch a little bit, is for the discoverability portion of it. But YouTube's getting their big toe in the water. It'll be interesting to see how that all stabilizes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I still haven't decided, do I want to really invest in, you know, because I need to pick one or the other. If I want to try and grow a subscriber base or whatever, I really need to pick, do I want to go Twitch or do I want to go YouTube? So we'll kind of see. I don't know. I know Twitch has a big convention coming out, and they're probably going to really tease a lot of features that are going to want to really try to keep a lot of their people team Twitch and not defecting over to YouTube. So we'll see. But this competition element is really interesting as far as I'm concerned. So
stream to both simultaneously.
Well, I know a lot of people stream to Twitch and then put their archive on YouTube, and that's probably the way to do it. I don't know. Nassen Games in our chat says, don't play Super Mario Maker on YouTube. Nintendo is already claiming ownership on all of it. See? Yeah, that's kind of shady to me. I don't know if I can, get down with that.
And it's sad because, you know, really that, like, I gotta be honest, like, that is, seeing the videos out there of people making stuff on Mario Maker is actually getting me interested in it. So it's advertising for your game. You're being very ungrateful about it. I mean, what, I have not seen any advertisement from Nintendo for Mario Maker, so it's kind of bold of you to not spend much money on advertising this, yet, you know, claiming ownership on these videos that are advertising for you.
Let's see. And then also looking at more comments in chat room at live.vognetwork.com. Some people complaining about TwitchCon, another con, which I kind of can see that. It's getting a little con heavy, and I don't know. Let's see. And William Murderface says, as a side note, fuck Nintendo for claiming like that. Technically, the game isn't out, so I can see where maybe they're a little bit frustrated. But at the same time, when the game is out on, you know, September 11th, I would hope that they back off on that. But they probably
won't. I was kind of surprised that there was all these people playing it already, but I guess it shouldn't be.
It's all the press copies, I'm sure. And then, let's see. Also, Bonds 006 suggests for the next Splatoon, Team Twitch versus Team YouTube. Hey, that might be a fun one to get into. We'll see. But anyway, so I've been streaming games on some of those sites. And then one that I did on Twitch the other day, because Twitch is still built into the PlayStation 4, which is awfully convenient, I must say. I'm sure PlayStation 4 will get the YouTube support and a firmware update, but for right now, you can only really do the Twitch or Ustream, which we don't even... gaming on Ustream is not really a thing. There's too many ads on Ustream for me. And I know it's what Travis uses to do his show, but he's also not a gaming show, and it's a little different. Anyway, so as far as Twitch goes, I was streaming Until Dawn, which Shane picked up, and he's a big fan of the scary games, and he's been playing it, I think, with Flocko Jones and Mrs. Flocko Jones. They've been playing Until Dawn very late at night, and so Shane was like, you have to play. And you know how insistent he can be sometimes, and especially because you all know how I feel about scary games, and I usually flip out and all that stuff. So he got me to play some Until Dawn. The good news is it was just like the first little chapter, so it wasn't too scary, but there were some super cheap jump scares and just some early impressions on the game. I think it looks really good. The game element itself seems very simple, because you're basically choosing, do you want to go this way or that way or do nothing? And then, of course, there's a lot of that, but then there's also, okay, you're in a scene, and can you find the hidden objects in the scene to investigate? And then there was some little, like, action-oriented things. There's a lot of quick time events, and, you got to aim the gun and shoot this thing as fast as you can, which I'm sure later in the game you're trying to, you know, shoot a killer or something like that to try and get away from him for a few extra moments. But I did notice, I was like, okay, the story in some parts seems to be very heavy-handed. Like, there's the butterfly effect in the game, and there's so much, like, butterfly stuff, effect stuff. It's like shoving it down your throat. You, like, see a sign that's like, did you know the Native Americans considered signs of butterflies to indicate da-da-da-da? And then it's like this whole system. It's like, okay, yes, I understand, developers. The choices I make will have an impact later in the game. Yes, you made that very clear. I understand.
Not very subtle.
No, not in that regard. But that's, you know, really one of the only complaints I can muster.
Now,
up.
What's going to happen
I think
is
it's going to be fun for a lot of people.
So what's going to happen is you think that it's just, they're just trying to hint to you that it's all these, you know, what you do is going to have effect at the end of the game. But really, it's because the end of the game, you fight a giant butterfly. Like, it's like Mothra, but it's a giant butterfly is the villain. It's like, see, we told you, it's foreshadowing.
Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, thanks for not shooting the squirrel. Yes, there was a scene where I could shoot either like a bag of sand or a squirrel. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm not having dead animals in this game. Dead Hayden Pettinier or whatever
you know,
her name is fine. Dead squirrel, no thank
if
you.
If it's like most of the squirrels that I encounter where you're trying to avoid them, the squirrel will just run in front of the bag as you shot it. It's like,
this didn't
you
happen.
Are dumb. You are a dumb animal.
This didn't happen in the game, sadly. Let's see. More comments from chat room at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, it's not super scary. It's more about trying to keep everyone alive. Everyone could live depending on what you decide, or everyone could die horribly. Not everyone lived in my first playthrough, and one character that I really didn't like survived. Darn it. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people, is that nobody seems to be able to keep everybody alive on their first playthrough. That, you know, some of the kids get messed up. So, I don't know. And then there's things about the game. You know, I don't like the Saw movies. I don't like that. And I'm hearing about some of the controversial stuff in the game, and it sounds like a thing straight out of a Saw movie. And I'm just like, gross. No thanks. Not really interested. But that's me. I know there's a lot of you out there that really love that type of stuff, and I think you'll have a good time with it. It is very interesting to me how it kind of feels like Sony wrote this game off in a way, and maybe it's because of how The Order was received or what have you. But it seems like even though Sony kind of wrote this game off, just because you're not seeing a lot of press for it, it didn't get a lot of hype. We saw a lot about it at E3 last year, but then it just suddenly came out.
Does
right?
it still have the Move support? Because it was supposed to be a Move game at one time.
Actually, there are, I guess I could say this, there are some scenes where it will suddenly come up and it says, don't move. And it shows the light on your controller. So, and the assumption is that if you move your controller, then you're going to screw up the scene. So, yes, there are some things that do. And you can actually play with motion controls, but I turned that off. So, I guess so, yeah. There's
because you have the Move controllers, element. You could.
Well, not on the PS4, though.
No, it works with the PS4.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't even try to hook that up and do that.
Yeah.
No, but I know it does have some of that motion control stuff built into it. So there's that. So, yeah, I know a lot of people are getting a kick out of that. So the word of mouth for that game has been really good, and I think it's going to end up doing more successfully than people thought it would. So I'm sure there'll be an Until Dawn 2 at some point. We'll see. As far as other games I played this week, the new stuff that came out, I played VVVVV, which came out on PlayStation 4, which... It's like the third time I've bought that game, but I really like that game. It just takes me back to my Commodore 64 days, and the soundtrack's so good. I was like, whatever, I'll pick it up on PlayStation 4. And the Mega Man Collection was this week as well. And I had to pick that up. Yes, I know people have their issues with the whole fact that 7 and 8 aren't there, but I was like, you know what, I want to give this game a fair shot, check it out. And I got to say, you know, they did a good job of porting the games to the PlayStation 4 is the platform I picked it up on, and they run just like they would on the Nintendo, which, you know, okay, obviously you would hope that a console that's 30 years older than the games that it's running on would run it flawlessly, and it does run really well. And, you know, there's some filters you can put on the screen if you're into that sort of thing, and there's borders that are representative of the different games as well, so that's cool. But what I also like is that they did do some stuff that was also outside just straight emulating the games. And yeah, okay, they have the museum and artwork, which I think is very customary for these disc collections. But there's a challenge mode as well. And I thought these modes were put together pretty well, where, like, let's say, for example, one of the challenges you do early on is a Mega Man boss rush. So you fight every boss in Mega Man 1 back to back to back. And it's not anything super fancy. I think they're using a collection of ROM save states strung together to kind of do this, but it works really well. I was doing one challenge where you had to do the beams in Quick Man's stage without having the time stopper. So, I mean, that sucks. But when you get to the end, there'll be like a little hole that you see on the screen that has the little galaxy effect behind it, and you fall in the hole and it goes flash, 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 and then your character moves, flash, 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 and then you're in another scene suddenly. So you might go from that to suddenly the scene in Dr. Wily's castle where you're dodging the spike balls as you're falling. So I thought that was kind of cool. That was something a little different that wasn't necessarily in the older collection. And to put that whole very modern social gaming aspect on it, you know, they have the leaderboards, right? But then you can also push a button and watch someone's video of them doing it. Like, it saves the videos of the top 100 players or whatever actually accomplishing that feat, so you can watch those on demand. And I thought that was really cool that they had that. That is a feature that I remember was in Game Room on the Xbox 360. Not to keep bringing up how amazing Game Room was, but deal with it. Between this game and Game Room on the 360, it's like everything I wish Virtual Console actually was on the NES. So, yeah, I do think there's a little more to it than just on Virtual Console. But, you know, if you already own all the Mega Man games on Virtual Console, will it be worth another $15 to get this?
Did they release it on the Wii U?
Not this collection, but all the games are on Virtual Console. Mm-hmm. But do you want to play $30 for nothing but emulation? Or do you want $15 for at least a couple little bells and whistles? Couple little bells and whistles in this. Just a little bit of polish. I think this is a better deal. That's how I feel. So let's see. Over at live.vognetwork.com, William Murderface reminding us that Diablo 3 Season 4 started Friday. More grinding for all of us addicts. Yep, I just hit level 60 today on my Season 4 character. I might have had some power level help. let's see. Real Raginator says $5 says that Mega Man 7 and Mega Man 8 will be DLC. You know, that would make a lot of sense. That maybe they're going to add that on a little later. I don't know. We'll see how that works. SJ100 Matt says, really miss Game Room. And Dungeon Buster saying, Game Room really was a great concept. Bonds006 says, I'll say this again. Watching others play games is eh to me. I paid to play, not so much watch TV. Net and Life already have that job. I will say, though, it is pretty cool because now you can see how they're getting these good times in Mega Man. And sometimes you learn something from it. Like, oh, shit, I've been using the wrong weapon. Or, oh, you can cheese the shit out of this. Like, I didn't even realize, although it makes sense now that I'm watching it again, it's the same trick from Blaster Master. But, like, when fighting the Yellow Devil from Mega Man 1, which is that giant stone thing with the red eye, you use the elect beam, and then you just pause as the elect beam is going through the eye, and kill him in one hit. And that's how everybody's getting, like, these 19-second times on the leaderboard. And I was like, oh. So you can just cheese it. So that would be one minor bitch complaint suggestion I might make is that on the challenge mode, turn pause off and make people actually earn it. But I guess you still see some other like speed running techniques that aren't like it's not really cheesing and it's just the same thing people do in speed runs, kind of glitching and some of this stuff. People doing that in some of the Mega Man 2 and other games. So it's kind of neat. Anyway. There you go. Phew. A lot of games to talk about this week for my gaming week, but it's nice to be nice to have a little time to play some games. Because this week, probably not so much with me going to Dragon Con, although hopefully I'll get to play some Vita or some 3DS on the plane. That's some hopes. And who knows? I know Dragon Con isn't a huge video gaming presence, but you never know. Sometimes there's some interesting stuff there, and there might be some panels. I think they're introducing Firefly Online at Dragon Con, so I'm sure that'll be insanely popular, but I might want to check that out. Anyway, that leads me into housekeeping for tonight. Of course, as I always say, Twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. We appreciate all of those follows and likes and all that good stuff. We will not be here next week. With Dragon Con going on and the 3-day weekend here in the States, we will not be having a show on Sunday. Bobby Blackwolf, who's before us every Sunday night, will not be live either. So it's a night off for the network. But you know, with the 3-day weekend, even if you're not going to Dragon Con, a lot of people go to different places this weekend. I highly doubt there's going to be too many people around on Sunday night. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with an all-new Orange Lounge Radio after tonight. Anyway, we still got plenty of this episode to get through, so let's get into some gaming news for the week, starting with Loki.
So Yacht Club Games has announced that they're going to be releasing an amiibo for Shovel Knight. And what's unique about this is unlike most of the amiibos that are manufactured by Nintendo, they're actually doing the manufacturing themselves. Now, what's going to happen with this is you'll be able to use this with the Wii U and 3DS versions of Shovel Knight. And when you do that, it unlocks an exclusive co-op mode, which allows two players to play through the entire game cooperatively. And also with that, you can also customize your character and transfer that back and forth between the Wii U and 3DS versions. By, of course, using the amiibo. So I was kind of disappointed. I thought originally when I heard about this that Shovel Knight was going to be added to like Smash Brothers or something like that. And I was like, ooh, that's pretty cool. But I don't know. Maybe, though, because they're doing the manufacturing and not Nintendo, that these won't be so hard to find. Although they're still saying that they're going to be available in limited quantities. I'm hoping it's just under-promising and over-delivering, right?
we can hope. We can hope. But, yeah. I am excited. I think it's great that Shovel Knight is getting an amiibo. I'm very excited about that. But, yeah, I'm just hoping it's not going to be subject to all this same kind of crap we've been seeing with a lot of the other amiibo, and it better fucking not be retailer exclusive. Although I don't think they would do that with all this song and dance for this particular amiibo. I really don't think it's going to be retailer exclusive.
No.
So I think it'll be a little easier to find in that regard. The only other thing I don't like about it is that they're locking co-op mode behind it in Shovel Knight, and that seems, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I understand the whole pay for DLC, so maybe if co-op mode were to be DLC, like, I kind of get it, and so maybe paying for the amiibo is just how you pay for DLC, but I think there's that inherent worry that I'm not going to be able to find the fucking thing.
Here's my thing, though. It's like, I understand, you know, with the amiibos, I thought the whole point was to add additional functionality to it, and I'm not talking about, like, basically this being a key to unlock a mode or something in the game. I'm talking about, like, I thought it was supposed to be like in Smash Brothers, where you train the character and you can take it and battle against other people and stuff like that. You know, a little bit more expanded usage for this stuff. But I don't know. They're just kind of like these, you know, okay, you can buy it for this game and it unlocks some shit. That's it. That's it. It's just DLC with a figure.
Mm-hmm. At least some of the figures are really cute, because I will confess, and some of you might have seen this on my Twitter, and I know Loki went, ugh, when he saw it walking in the door. I bought two more amiibo, which, you know, whatever. I got the Silver Mario and the Zelda. But I got a little display thing for it that's actually, I think it's really cute. It looks like the end of a Mario stage with the blocks going up and then a big flag. And you can actually, the way it's constructed, there's actually little circular cutouts in the blocks, so your amiibo fit perfectly inside. And so they kind of display like they're standing on the blocks. It looks really cool. So I bought that this week, and so now I have this whole little display set up, which is cute, I think. But I like them mostly for the figures. I've barely been using the unlocks, to be honest. I don't really, I mean, I leveled a couple of the characters in Smash Brothers, but not all of them. And I've been doing that amiibo tap thing where you tap the amiibo and you get the 3 minutes from different scenes in different NES games. But it's like it's kind of one of those, oh, I play it once. Oh, neat. Cool. And then that's it. I haven't really gone back to visit it. So, but that's it.
Yeah. I don't know.
No.
It's a cool figure, I guess.
Mm-hmm. ActDef does point out the Shovel Knight figure will work in any other game that supports it, though, so it isn't locked to just one game. So who knows? Maybe Shovel Knight will show up in Mario Maker or something. You never know. It could be.
I mean, that's cool if it does that, but it's I don't know. I just don't get the I don't see the point. And it's been like almost a year since these have been out, and there hasn't been really anything that's been like, oh my goodness, I can't imagine playing games without this functionality. And that's kind of like how they were talking about it at first. It's like, you know, this is going to be like so amazing. It's going to just revolutionize everything. No, it hasn't. It hasn't done anything. All it is just they knew they got in on a fad because they knew people would collect this crap just like they collect, you know, Skylanders or fucking Disney Infinity shit. They want to get
in on
that.
Okay, but to be fair, even you want the Tron Disney Infinity figures.
I want it doesn't mean I'm going to buy it. Yeah, that's a big thing, because, like, I was all gung-ho about LEGO Dimensions. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is the game I'm going to get in on. But you know what? I'm realistic. It's a fucking $100 game for the base game, and all the expansions are $40. Nope, I don't want it that much. You know, the same with the Tron stuff. Yeah, those figures look cool. Am I going to drop the money for it? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, they look cool, and I might want one. Doesn't mean I'm going to pay for it. So I just don't see the point. Aside, I mean, that's cool if you want to collect figures, fine. But, like, people are just going fucking crazy over this shit. And I don't understand it, because there's really a side. You know what? Nintendo, fine. If you want to put out a line of figures, hey, by all means, do that. But, like, to say that this is some big breakthrough in gaming, it's not. It's just fucking ridiculous.
It's just a fad.
It is. It's just a fad. It's just like the fucking Wii balance board. Oh, this is going to revolutionize shit. It didn't fucking do anything. Or the Move controller or the Kinect is going to revolutionize. It did not fucking do anything. It's just a fucking fad.
I would agree that probably 10 years from now, we're not going to have this Amiibo, Skylanders, Infinity Figures, Lego. We're probably not going to have this in 10 years. It'll probably be something worse.
No, yeah, I'm getting. Oh, you,
but I think just I think the figure thing is not.
Just
I think it's
wait,
I think it's,
all it's gonna take is a fucking Pokemon game. There is gonna be a fucking Pokemon game, and they're gonna have an amiibo for every goddamn Pokemon.
And that might
out
be
there.
The point where some people are like, "Fuck you."
Nope. People are not gonna be all fuck you. They're gonna be like, "I gotta buy them all." But they're exclusive to Target and Walmart and GameStop and Nintendo and I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Denny's.
I'm not here for that. Denny's. $2.99 breakfast slam.
Super Meat Boy Amiibo. It's going to be exclusive to Denny's.
No, it would be like the really crappy Pokemon that nobody wants. It would be Magikarp. Magikarp with the fish and chips played at Denny's.
Magikarp, yeah.
And then it's a $20. Why am I paying $20 for fish and chips at Denny's? Let's see. Dungeon Buster says GameStop recently reported their fiscal quarter and collectibles helped their bottom line.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
They got to love this stuff because you can't just buy it online. And they have the exclusives and all that stuff. Anyway. Speaking of what Nintendo's future could look like, we talked about a controversial patent. I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago on the show. The whole
it was last week.
Was it last week? The whole did you listen to last week's show? Or
nope, I just know the news. So
the whole thing. I guess some of our listeners are happy you weren't here to commentate on it. Some are sad you weren't here to commentate on it.
I wanted to be here just because of the voice actors. I thought that would have been cool.
That was a lot of fun. We appreciate those guys being on the show. If you didn't hear the interview last week, go back and listen.
I do need to go back and listen to the show. Yeah.
But so we had the patent thing last week about the fact that Nintendo may be taking the disc drive out of their next console. And we see how fabulously those digital-only ideas worked for Microsoft. But Nintendo is able to get away with some things that Microsoft cannot. Nintendo has more fanboys than Microsoft when it comes to gaming. I believe that to be true. I know some will staunchly disagree with me on that. But I believe there are more passionate Nintendo fanboys than there are Microsoft fanboys for the simple reason nobody that is 30 plus grew up playing Xbox. Microsoft was a late bloomer into the scene. Nintendo was around in the 80s. Microsoft wasn't in the gaming scene in the 80s. Big difference. You would be surprised how much clout that has. Anyway, but that's not what I wanted to talk about again this week. I want to talk about some new patents that showed up. But again, remember, take it with a huge grain of salt. This stuff can sometimes just be full of crap. This is about achievement sharing, some type of patent they have filed for achievement sharing. It lets you record moments before you receive an achievement and then share the footage with other users and attach a message like Miiverse. Now, so far on the Wii U, there's no achievement system, but of course on the 360, the Xbox One, PS3, or PS4, you do have that. And
I thought Xbox One had this already.
It records in certain circumstances, and you can share achievements, but it doesn't.
I thought that was one of the whole like things with like the screenshot thing. Is that I thought that was
PlayStation 4 does that now in a firmware update. It takes a screenshot when you get the trophy, but it's kind of what Nintendo might be doing with this patent is it's taking an idea that people are already doing, and that is when I get an achievement, I'm likely to hit the share button. Clip the video of me getting that moment and then uploading the video. Nintendo may be streamlining all
this. Can you patent that if it's an idea someone has already had and done?
Because if it's all streamlined, that's the difference.
That's lame.
But patent law in this country in general is a goddamn
mess.
Yes. And we've talked about that way too many times on this show. That's not the. So it looks like some type of achievement system, very likely for the next Nintendo.
It'd be cool if it's like Mario Kart 8 stuff, you know, where you have like the little highlight video or something like that. That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah. Nassen Games in chat says Xbox One can record certain good moments, but not all achievement earning moments. Let's see. Also, Nintendo has filed some other patents. And yeah, this is where I don't understand because some of the other consoles do have this, but I'm just going to say what we're reading out there on the internet and You know, as oftentimes goes with this legal stuff, most people like us don't know what they're talking about with a lot of this legal stuff. But it's still interesting and gives us clues as to what could be in the next Nintendo console. So I guess there's going to be some type of in-game chat, a monitor for displaying a game image or a television program, and a terminal device having a camera, a microphone, and a loudspeaker. When a user's playing a game or viewing a television program by using the monitor, another user can have chat by using the terminal device. So that kind of makes me sound like that's what I said should have been in Virtual Console a long time ago. When you're playing Virtual Console on the TV, what if you're playing two-player mode with, let's say I'm going to play Mario Brothers. I'm going to be Mario, and my buddy Ranma in New York City is going to be Luigi, as he often is. So we're going to play Super Mario Brothers. Well, we'll play Super Mario Brothers on the TV, but then we can chat with each other on the gamepad. That I don't understand why that's not a thing in Virtual Console today. I'm assuming the system isn't powerful enough. That won't be an excuse the time the next console comes around. So maybe, I'm certainly jumping to conclusions, tinfoil hatting a little bit, but maybe finally that thing I thought would have been inherent to the Wii U is going to be a part of Nintendo's successor console.
It's not powerful enough to handle chat, really?
Video chat while you're doing a 30-year-old game, apparently not.
Well, I don't know about video chat, but like, I don't know, audio?
You would think. And then also, let's see, other multiple operating modes depending on the amount of power the user wants to use. A full power mode, an eco-friendly mode, and a very low power mode that disables network features. It communicates with an external apparatus via a network. The information processing system is capable of operating in three operation modes: a first mode, a second mode, which consumes less power, and a third mode, which consumes less power than the second mode, and where the communication via the network is not performed. Very interesting.
I don't know. That seems like, once again, it's whatever. I mean, that's fine. I understand that people still dog Nintendo about like being having their consoles be green stuff, but that's like, I don't think that anybody out there is just like, I can't really buy a Wii U because it's just not green enough for me. I mean, is there seriously some hipster out there that actually does that? I mean, I just don't understand why invest in this.
Go to our chat room for some more comments at live.vognetwork.com. Kaijudo says, wait, they showed the new Nintendo? I got to see this. No. These are just some patents that are out. And a lot of people on the internet this week, including us, reading into these probably a little too much. However, you know, because sometimes patents are filed just to protect ideas and protect patent trolls. But sometimes you get things in here
How
that come to reality.
Just figure out a way to get third-party support for your system and making sure that it can stay competitive with your competition out there.
We'll see.
How about concentrate on that instead of fucking a low-power mode and a lower-power mode? I mean, that doesn't... You're spending the resources on the wrong thing.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's true. But anyway, because you don't know what it's doing in those modes. You know, it's... The department that figures that out is completely different from the department that massages third-party companies and
gets
them on board.
Yeah, but you know what gets them on board is having similar specs to the competition when they're like, fuck it, we can have specs from last generation and it's fine.
Hold on. Let me read this other comment here. Nascent Games in chat says, I think it might be a concern about Nintendo being such a family-friendly system, but that's just me. Fine. Don't video chat with strangers. Don't allow the video chat thing for people that aren't on your friends list where you have added them and they have added you. But if I have a friend and we consensually agree we're going to wave our dicks around on video chat while we play Duck Hunt, then whatever. You could do that playing with Skype today. I mean, the technology's out there if people want to be perverts.
Here's
the sex gets into everything.
Here is the problem with the family-friendly system thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're assuming that parents listen to the companies that are making these devices and informing
True.
Them on and this stuff.
True.
Who did they listen to when the device gets purchased? Who gets listened to?
The kid.
Bitching about
not having
Grand Theft Auto 5.
I'm going to die if I don't have one.
They're going to buy the system that has fucking Grand Theft Auto 5 or the next Call of Duty because that's what little Johnny wants. It's not because it's family-friendly bullshit. They're going to be like, I don't know what system to buy, but he wants Call of Duty. Does this play Call of Duty? No, but it plays Mario. Well, he wants Call of Duty, so I'm going to pick up that one, the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One. I'm going to pick up that one. That is what sells the fucking systems. The catering the family friendly, I understand there's some families out there that want to spend their money on this type of thing. It's not working for you.
You need to get out of that. That was the whole problem of the GameCube and the Wii. It's like it was, you know, pegged as family friendly, so it couldn't break into that part of the market. Get over that. Make your system friendly for everyone. I think that there's enough stuff out there, enough, you know, measures where people can, you know, make it family friendly for their kids, but they're not going to do it anyway, so who cares?
All right. Let's move on. We got plenty of other gaming news. We're already see. You think when there's only two of us here, it's going to be a short show, and then look at it. We're an hour and 15 minutes.
We're talking
minutes
about in. Nintendo. It's not because of Nintendo. It's because they're stupid in, like, some of their, like, ideals. I just don't get it.
I mean, you admit it. You want the Wii U Mario Maker console.
I like the
Mario. I saw you tweet about it.
Yeah, I can't afford it. But, I would love to play Mario Maker because that looks like fun. All right. I'm not going to buy it because it's, ooh, it's Nintendo, or, ooh, it's family friendly. I'm buying it because Mario Maker looks fun. If Mario Maker was on Steam, I'd buy it on Steam.
Fair
simple
enough
as that.
Moving on.
All right, so Mighty Number 9. Of course, remember, it's not coming out this year. It was supposed to be coming out next month, but delays. So with that, though, they're going to be putting out an exclusive trial that's going to run from September 15th for a full month on PC. You'll have access to 4 levels, one of which hasn't been playable before, and 6 challenge modes. So they're basically saying, you know, that all relevant cutscenes are included since the single player is basically done. And, so you'll get to check it out. And then also, of course, backers will get Mighty Gunvolt on Steam as well.
Good. I know a lot of people were very upset with the whole delays and the fact that people are playing Mighty Number 9, but not them, because there was no trial or anything like that out there. So I'm glad that they decided to, put out whatever demo they're taking to trade shows, put it out there for their backers.
That's nice.
That's good. I'd like to play the game at some point and check it out. I did not back the game, so I have to wait, but I'm excited to give it a try. You know, I will say this, maybe this was an unintended perk of the Mega Man Legacy Collection, but it's making me more excited for these type of games again, and I want to check out Mighty Number 9.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on, this is kind of interesting with impacts and so forth. Shenmue 3, apparently, having an impact on the sales of a particular gaming console, but it's not the PlayStation 4. You think people would be excited about Shenmue 3 and maybe making the plunge and getting a PlayStation 4, but the actual effect it's having, Dreamcast sales are going up. All right, now hold on. At least that's the headline that's running around the internet right now, but there are some, like, wait, hold
on. Doubled
our
sales. 2 consoles have been sold.
Yeah, 2 consoles have sold instead of 1. It's according to 1 indie game shop. So even though you're seeing this headline everywhere on the internet right now, it's based off of 1 retailer in an interview with MVC that they were able to move 20 Dreamcast units in 1 week, and that's because of the success of Shenmue 3's Kickstarter. Now, let me ask you this, Loki. Were there any new Dreamcast exploits discovered this week? Like, are people getting things running on it now that weren't running on it before? Or is it really Shenmue hype? Or is there something people don't know about that's really moving these units?
I don't know. Maybe they just realize how awesome a Dreamcast is, but, like, I don't think it's, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily Shenmue. I mean, if you're hyped about Shenmue 3 right now, then you've probably played the other two. Like, I've never played the other two. I'm not hyped about Shenmue 3. I'm certainly not going to go buy a Dreamcast to play those. I own a Dreamcast, and I'm certainly not going to go try to find Shenmue 1 and 2. Did they even make Shenmue 2 on the Dreamcast, or was that just on Xbox?
It's been forever. I had only seen it on Xbox, so I don't remember.
Whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. So
SG100 Matt says Xbox only.
Okay. So I doubt that's the case. And why is this guy sitting on 20 Dreamcasts anyways? He's probably glad to get that shit off the shelf. And why is that news? That is not fucking news.
That's because gaming journalism, copy-paste, headline, Shenmue moves Dreamcast consoles in one shop. 20 of them. Let's see. You know what? Let's get, like, all 5 of our listeners to go buy Atari 2600s this week. And we'll run a headline that says Atari 2600 sales have spiked because of OLR. Naming it the console of the millennia. I don't know what it is, but we'll sell 5 more, And then it's going to be a headline on Kotaku tomorrow. Watch.
How about we just tell our listeners not to buy Metal Gear Solid 5 and just say because of Konami sucking, Metal Gear Solid 5 is going to tank. I don't know.
ActDef says, Sky, but I already have an Atari 2600. Buy another one.
Buy two.
The one you have will break soon enough. Dungeon Buster says, Sears would be proud. Yes, we felt bad for Sears this week. So we're encouraging sales of the Atari 2600.
I did want to kind of get a Nintendo, but I don't know. Like, I think I'd probably have to get those, like, knockoff Nintendo systems that actually have HDMI out and stuff like that, because it's just going to be too hard to get to run on my TV.
Akuma JP in our chat saying, over in Japan, where he's at, I must say the Dreamcast is selling in secondhand shops here. Price is 200% now. So this maybe this is an international phenomenon.
I don't know.
But see, in Japan, they also have Hello Kitty Dreamcasts in Japan. So, I mean, I want to get one of those.
It just doesn't... It just because you interview one shop doesn't make it a thing. It's just... You know what they say, but yeah, it's whatever.
All right, let's move on with another story, Logie.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, search.
So I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but Mega 64 is going to be developing games now. You may remember them from, you know, acting like asses on YouTube and doing silly videos, but yes, now they're going to be making video games. I don't know if this means that they're going to actually make like a Mega 64 game, if this is going to be kind of similar to like the Penny Arcade games. Don't know, but yay, someone else making games. This just in, though, anybody can really make games, and the tools out there are free to get. So, yeah. But hey, Mega 64.
Congrats on them doing, going from, indie production stuff to some of this really, really big stuff. I think that's really cool.
I mean, I don't know. I hope their game's good.
We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. I'm just looking at some of the comments in chat. SJ100 Matt says, do they still do their silly video shtick? I haven't watched them in
years.
Yes,
they still do their silly video shtick.
I don't even know if I should tell this story. I'm going to get myself in trouble, but whatever. Nobody listens to this show. It won't be a problem. So I am not familiar with these guys' things at all, save that one Nintendo thing that they did. They did like a Nintendo announcement video a couple years
ago.
Yeah,
right? The Reggie one where he was like a robot.
Okay. So I was with a friend at E3, and I think this was the major year, like the 2006 year, the Paris Hilton year and the Wii year and all that stuff. And my friend like totally recognized these guys and was like fanboying out a little bit, was like, hey, and introduced himself. And then, the guys were like, oh, hey. And then I was like, hi there, I'm Rob. And, and I didn't know who they were. And I was kind of like, and you are? And like, dude was like super offended that I didn't know who they were. And I was kind of like, oh, sorry.
Oh, you're an
asshole.
I
didn't know if you're in the big leagues. To be fair, E3 is a very stressful time. There's a lot of stuff going on. You don't know if I caught the guy on a bad day, whatever. But I just was kind of like, oh.
I'm sorry.
Not everybody has humility in this industry.
I didn't notice your panties bunched up over there.
So that was – now it's just – unfortunately, now it's just everything I associate when I hear about them. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the guy that was super offended. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, I know who you are. I just don't give a shit. Oh, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to be – let me get down on one knee for you.
I'm not trying to start shit. It might have just been a bad time. Maybe I misinterpreted something. I don't know. It's whatever. Shit happens.
No, I'm not going to offend the female gender now. Gonna just stop.
All right.
I'll leave that internal thought there.
All right. Please don't offend people. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about something that's super not offensive. How could you possibly be offended by free things? Wait, Yaris was pretty offensive, actually. Well, this is a lot better than Yaris, believe me. The announcement came out of PAX this week. ArenaNet always seems to show up at PAX and do some different panels and so forth. And they actually announced yesterday, Saturday, that Guild Wars 2 is now free to download. Guild Wars 2. See, usually when an MMO goes what they call free to play, it's because that MMO is charging a monthly fee, and now they are no longer charging such fee. But Guild Wars' model has always been, oh, you buy the box game, and then you get to play online. There's no monthly fee to play.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing now. With the original Guild Wars 2, you don't even have to buy the box. You can just go download it and play for free. Why on earth would they do this? Well, President Mike O'Brien said in the press release, in making Guild Wars 2 free, we're not switching business models to a traditional free-to-play game, and we're not aggressively monetizing free players through microtransactions. We're making the base game free because we're confident that anyone who loves Guild Wars 2 will consider buying Heart of Thorns, continuing their experience into the expansion and beyond with Living World and our newly announced raids. We believe that if people love Guild Wars 2, they're going to buy the expansion pack.
There you go.
Very interesting. So they're giving away the base game to try and drive sales of the expansion pack. That's pretty cool. Now, it should be said, Guild Wars 2 does have microtransactions in it, which has always been a little bit controversial because, you know, you are buying the box game and so forth. And my understanding is the people that bought the boxed game are going to get these different level perks. And I don't know all the specifics. I haven't played Guild Wars 2 in a long time myself. But I did buy it a long time ago when it first came out. The boxed players that did pay the money for it are going to get some perks that the free players aren't going to have. So the free players are still going to have some restrictions, but they're going to be able to level all the way to the cap in the first game and pretty much do everything that you could do in the first game. It's just they might be limited on some of the cosmetic stuff and all that. So kind of neat. I think there'll be a lot of people that are going to take advantage of that and checking out Guild Wars. So, Bonds 006 says, LOL, I guess because Microsoft gave it to me for free. So maybe Guild Wars was already like free in some bundles and so forth. ActDef says, it's basically like when Team Fortress 2 went free. Yeah, it sounds like it might be very similar. So, there you go. I think there'll be a lot of people wanting to check out Guild Wars 2. It's certainly not a bad MMO by any means. I think it's, this is pretty awesome.
Your move, Square Enix. Your move.
I actually said, you know, funny because I was referencing Horde House earlier in the show, but I said that one thing they ought to do in World of Warcraft is just make vanilla Warcraft free. They've got like 5 expansions to make money on to sell things out of the box. Make basic Warcraft free.
How do you make like the first or second expansion free too?
Yeah, why not? I don't understand why Warcraft doesn't go free under the same idea. But who knows? Maybe this
because they got that sweet movie cash coming.
Yeah, I guess that's true too. By the way, it's not on our show roll tonight. But did you see the whole leaked footage out of Russia?
Yeah, I tried to watch the leaked footage. It was leaktastic.
Yeah, it's craptastic quality. It looks like they changed the trailer dramatically from what we saw at BlizzCon a year ago. Because remember, I don't understand what's been taking so fucking long for them to put out some footage for public consumption, because we saw a trailer for the movie in November of last year at BlizzCon. It looked fine to me. It looked better than fine. It looked great. I guess maybe some of the effects might have been rough around the edges, so they say. I didn't notice in the trailer. Maybe they figure if they put it on YouTube, you're going to have people going frame by frame that are very, very, you know, analytical or so forth. But I think it's been far too long for them to not put something more hype out there. So it'll be interesting to see if this trailer leak forces their hand, kind of like that Suicide Squad thing that came out of Comic-Con. Remember Warner Brothers got all pissed? That
I'm a trailer leak.
Somebody brought a camera.
You guys are criminals for watching.
Oh, my God. Fucking babies.
Yeah.
It's a fucking movie trailer. It got me hyped about your stupid movie when it leaked out. You know what? People fucking leak that shit out on purpose all the fucking time. But you know what? Some movie studios don't act like little whiny bitches when that happens.
Honest to God, when I saw the Suicide Squad trailer, I was like, this doesn't look as crappy as I was expecting.
Exactly.
And I think that's the way a lot of people reacted to it.
Well, Will Smith is Will Smith. I mean, that's fine. But
this doesn't look as crappy as I thought it would.
I just don't understand why they were little whiny bitches about it. Like fucking Ryan Reynolds and, you know, Fox and shit releasing the Deadpool stuff. They're like, hey, just understand, you know, it's going to take us some time to release the full thing. I'm glad you liked the leaked trailer. But they weren't bitches about it. I mean, I just don't understand what Warner Brothers they have like some serious issues.
SSG100 Matt in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, Loki is making up for lost rants from last week. Love it. You know, Alan was sitting on the couch last week because he actually had the night off. He actually had a couple rants in him about some other things, but Loki making up for lost time.
Tonight. Sorry, it's just like I just don't get it. That it was like even I'm not alone in this opinion. I mean, everybody seemed to be just like, what the fuck is your big deal? Like, who cares? A trailer leaked. Ooh, well, it's not like a big secret. It's not like the movie leaked, okay? It's a fucking trailer.
All right.
Like, calm down.
Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and check out some things that'll be coming soon to a gaming console near you. A lot sooner than the Warcraft movie, that's for sure.
Hello, it's the fourth quarter, because fourth quarter always starts early. It's September to November, so... Starting the fourth quarter off, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One and PC. Nobunaga's Ambition, Sphere of Influence on PlayStation 4. Also getting a physical release, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons on PlayStation 4. Mad Max coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and on PC. It looks like also Brothers is going to be coming out on Xbox One as well. Let's see here. And Company of Heroes, the British Forces, looks like an expansion will be coming out on PC.
All right. Looking at our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Alan, Loki, since I know you didn't have a chance to listen to last week's show, Alan is giving you a taste of what you missed last week. Alan says, I may have said BioWare got lost up its own ass and referred to Konami as toilet clowns.
Oh, and I was going to mention also Danganronpa, another episode, Ultra Despair Girls, is going to be coming out on the Vita. Yes, still Vita games coming out.
See Alan chat reminding us the contents of opinions of Alan Alchemy are not those of VogueNetwork.com. Well, that goes double for Loki, quite honestly. There it is.
But they're probably right.
All right. Moving on, let's go to Japan and check out what's coming out there. In Japan, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, of course, making its way out there as well in Japan on September the 2nd. There's also a special headset coming out for that. Just cool little extra bundle thing if you want to check that out. Metal Gear Solid 5 also released on the Xbox One for ye few loyal Xbox One owners in Japan. Nothing on the Wii U this week, though we're creeping closer and closer to the Mario Maker release in Japan, just like we're getting here. On the PlayStation Vita on the 3rd of September, Infinite Stratos 2, Love and Purge comes out in Japan this week. And lastly, on the 3DS this week, Lego Ninjago Shadow of Ronin is out this week in Japan. Seems like a pretty slow week outside of
Ninjago. Is how they pronounce it.
Oh, Ninjago. Pretty slow week in Japan this week outside of Metal Gear Solid, which I'm sure is just because that's such a huge release. There's not a lot standing in its way this week. Going over to Europe, since Dark Sakura isn't here tonight, I will try to catch up on what's happening in Europe. Let's see. On the 4th of September, Broken Sword, The Serpent's Curse on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Nobunaga's Ambition, Spear of Influence on PC as well as PlayStation 3 and 4. And then on the 3rd of September, Company of Heroes 2, The British Forces, making its way to the PC. All right, just another story here from Loki, and then we'll get to the classic game of the week.
All right. So this is kind of cool. I mean... I don't know. I thankfully have gotten myself out of the game on PC. But if you have a mobile device, you'll be happy to know Clicker Heroes is coming to iOS and Android. Yes, now it can take over your lives away from your computer as well. And I'm assuming it's also free to play. So go download it.
I'm a little worried about falling down the Clicker Heroes hole on iOS. Like, my PC addiction is bad enough. Did you know I actually bought rubies on PC? But there's with good reason. I felt that I played it enough that I really needed to support the developers. So I threw $10 at it.
All right.
So there's that. So I'm just worried about, do I really need to do that on the phone as well? I don't know. All right. Dark Sakura not here tonight, sadly. So that means, guess what? Brace yourselves. I'm going to take the reins and cover the classic game of the week. Every week, usually Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be playing this game this week. But since she's not here, mwahahaha, I am going to actually pick a game that I think you guys should consider playing this week. So the game that I have picked for the week this week is one of those games that I'm kind of surprised we haven't done before, because it's been the subject of many an in-joke here at Orange Lounge Radio, but it is one of my very favorite 80s arcade games. This week I have picked Burger Time as the classic game of the week. That's right, Burger Time is the classic game of the week. Some classic sounds there, all the little burger parts falling there all over the board. Let's talk a little bit about Burger Time. Burger Time was released by Data East in 1982, and it actually came out for the Deco cassette system. The original title of the game was Hamburger, but the game name was changed in the U.S. To Burger Time for whatever reason when the game came out. Obviously, what you do in Burger Time, you're running around this board, and the board changes depending on what stage you're on, and you're trying to make these different parts of a burger fall to the bottom of the screen. So you might have like a bun at the top, and then like a lettuce and tomato and meat, and then a bottom bun thing. So you're, but you can cause these chain reactions. So if you drop the bun on the top, then it falls on the meat just below it, the lettuce below that, and then it falls all the way to the bottom. That's how you can actually clear boards quickly. But, of course, it's not just as simple as running over things and navigating the maze, because you are being chased the entire time by baddies. There's, of course, a big egg that follows you that's Mr. Egg. You probably recognize that. There's also Mr. Hot Dog and Mr. Pickle. I guess Mr. Hot Dog is very upset that you're choosing to eat hamburgers instead of hot dogs. I don't know. You may or may not know the main protagonist of the game is named Peter Pepper. Peter Pepper is the guy that you actually control in the game, and he can actually stun enemies by spraying them with pepper in the face. Yes, early concept of pepper spray in 1982 to actually stun Mr. Hot Dog and Mr. Pickle. By the way, that's not the only way you can actually attack them. If they're actually on a piece of the lettuce or bun or something as it's falling, you can crush them that way as well. So that's kind of cool. There's only 6 different mazes in the game. So if you actually beat all 6, then obviously, as happened in most 80s games, you go back to the beginning and everything gets a little bit harder and a little bit faster. And that's pretty much Burger Time. I mean, it was from the 1980s, so it was a pretty simple concept. But it was really unique, considering that this is, you know, 82 is still really early on. You know, this is, you know, way before the NES is out, even though there was a version of this on the NES, by the way, and any of that stuff. It's still kind of a pretty complicated concept, considering, you know, things like Space Invaders and Pac-Man and so forth were really the big games of the time. So, yeah, I liked Burger Time because it was very different. And it was like, what the hell? This is a game where you're building burgers. What the hell is this? So that's just kind of why I liked it. And, of course, you know I played this on the Commodore 64. You know I did. And I'm sure a lot of you guys played this on different places. Not only was it on the Commodore 64, it was on the Apple II, Atari 2600, BBC Micro, ColecoVision. There's a DOS version of it. It was on Mattel's system, the MSX, the NES, and the TI-99/4A. There was also a deluxe version on the Nintendo Game Boy, which is Burger Time Deluxe. There's also a mobile phone version, and it's on Wii's Virtual Console. I think it was one of those, you know how they released a few arcade games to Virtual Console? I think Burger Time was one of them. Now, there were some sequels and ports that came later. There was an arcade spinoff called Peter Pepper's Ice Cream Factory. I never played that one. I didn't realize it was a thing. Also, Super Burger Time, which I think I did play once. I think that showed up at California Extreme one year. Those are not wide releases, but Super Burger Time has Peter Pepper Jr., and it's a two-player game. You can actually play two players at once, so that's pretty cool. There was also a console sequel called Diner, and that was when Intellivision was bought from Mattel by INTV Corp. And so they actually had a game called Diner where you kick balls of food so that they roll off platforms and onto a large plate at the bottom of the screen. Kind of neat. By the way, this had nothing to do with the game Food Fight, which you might think is related, but it's not. I don't know if one inspired the other or what. You may have heard more recently of Burger Time World Tour. Burger Time World Tour was released for WiiWare, as well as Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network and Windows. That came out in 2011. That upgraded the concepts to 3D. And so it came out on November 2nd on Xbox Live and November 15th on PlayStation Network. And then WiiWare, I think, came the next year in 2012. However, this is interesting. It ended up getting delisted in 2014. So it almost makes Burger Time World Tour a classic as well, because you can't get it anymore. I don't know if there was a license. I don't know if Monkey Paw Games lost the license or what have you. They say that the Xbox Live version sold 8,000 units. That doesn't seem like a raving success. Doesn't seem awful, but anyhow, if you hope for a sequel to Burger Time in the future, Data East went bankrupt in 2003. G-Mode bought most of Data East's intellectual properties, which include Burger Time, Super Burger Time, and Peter Pepper's Ice Cream Factory. So if you want to see another Burger Time game someday, you got to hit up the folks over at G-Mode. There it is, your classic game of the week, Burger Time. Did you ever play Burger Time, Loki?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, that's a fun game, isn't it?
Yep.
I like that. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, didn't the NES version of Burger Time support the power pad? You're actually getting it confused with Short Order and Eggsplode. Short Order, you built burgers as well, but it wasn't the puzzle element. It was more like Simon Says, where you would see the order, and then you'd have to bounce around the pad to repeat the order, essentially. That was a little bit different. It's kind of funny, though, that you thought that was similar. Because, yeah, you don't get a lot of video games about building hamburgers. Tiger Claw says, hamburger was the original name of the game, probably because it was such a common word that they couldn't trademark it. And ActDeft also expressing surprise that Burger Time has never been a classic game of the week. Well, it has now. There it is, your classic game of the week, Burger Time. All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break. But don't go anywhere, guys. We've got plenty more show to come, including rapid-fire news, your answers to the Fugle question of the week, mailbag, which we actually have at least one email tonight, and, of course, your calls at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. When we come back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 612 for August the 30th of 2015, already in progress. And as a reminder, we will not be here next week over Labor Day weekend, as I will be in Atlanta for Dragon Con. And I hope to see many of you guys there. And for those that can't be there, you can still participate with the panels and the podcasting track that Bobby and I will be on through Alpha Geek Radio. So shout out to them, and thanks for doing that. So many of our listeners who can't be there in person can actually tune in and hear some of those panels that Bobby and I will be participating on. And, you know, honestly, just all the great panels. They're going to be doing a lot of live shows this year. It seems like a lot of live podcasts. I don't even know why we didn't think to bid to do it. Well, probably the only one that could actually really do a show live is probably Bobby, because obviously you and Dark Soccer sadly aren't going to Atlanta. Maybe in a future year we'll be able to make something like that happen. We could maybe not even if it's necessarily OLR live, just some type of maybe hodgepodge show between Bobby, OLR, Pod Culture or something, Critical Myth.
The Orange is extremely critical of Nintendo Hour.
Orange Black Wolf Culture Myth.
Orange
something.
Orange Lounge is the new Black Wolf Radio.
Something like that, maybe. Who knows? All right, well, while we brainstorm that over the next year, let's get back into some rapid-fire news, Loki.
So, hey, September is right around the corner, and with that, we've got some free games for you if you have Xbox Live Gold. So, for the month of September, you can look forward to, on Xbox One, The Dear God, and that's going to be available for the entire month of September. Also, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition will be available from September 16th through October 15th. So that's not quite in September, but close enough. Xbox 360, you'll be getting Battle Stations Pacific from the first half of the September, and the second half, you'll be getting Crysis 3. So, yeah. And then also, How to Survive Storm Warning Edition is still available on Xbox One through the 15th. So go check it out. I tend to download all that stuff regardless.
I always forget on Xbox. I'm pretty good about doing it on PlayStation, but I always forget about the Xbox ones.
Yeah. Let's see. So let's see here. Then, of course, with that, PlayStation Plus, we'll be getting some new games, including which one of was chosen by the actual users of PlayStation Plus, which is Grow Home. They have the selection between three different titles and Grow Home 1. So that'll be coming out on PlayStation 4. Also for PlayStation 4, Super Time Force Ultra.
Tesla Grad and Xenodrifter will be available. Also on PlayStation 3, Tesla Grad and Twisted Metal. And then for the Vita, Xenodrifter and La Mulana EX. And because they weren't chosen to be free, Armello and Zombie Vikings will be 30% off for PlayStation Plus members for the first half of the month.
Now, and they're not doing that voting thing every month, they said. That's a lot of discounts, so they're not going to be doing that every month.
That's too bad. I still think the free thing's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a little bit more was shown off on Minecraft Story Mode. And guess what? It's actually headed to Wii U. What? Minecraft on Wii U?
But there's no actual Minecraft the game on Wii U.
That's sad.
You can get Minecraft knockoffs on Wii U, but no actual Minecraft.
I don't understand.
The game.
Hey, if Minecraft Story Mode can run on Wii U, why can't Minecraft run?
That is a great question.
If the Vita can run Minecraft, why can't the Wii U run Minecraft? I mean, come on.
Fantastic question.
I don't know. It's, no idea what the answer to that is. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it to develop for it for the amount of users on there. But yes, it'll be coming out on Wii U, and it's going to have unique control, course with the touchpad and everything. So pretty cool. Not sure when that's going to be coming out, but hopefully later on you'll be able to check it out. And then with that, Witcher 3 has sold a whole ton of copies. It's only been out for 6 weeks. But it's already sold 6 million copies, and that's without any DRM. So take note, everybody.
Nice. Wow, that's a great sales figure.
Yep, that's awesome. And that's even without factoring in, I guess, was it? They're saying that the game, Good Old Games performance is up 68% over the same six-month time period.
Hmm.
And that's without even factoring in Witcher 3. So,
interesting.
Pretty cool. And last but not
I need to really sit down and spend more quality time with that game. It came out during a busy period, but now that I'm not like sucked into Final Fantasy 14 as much as I used to, I got some extra time to sit down and really play some of that, I think.
And last but not least, Grand Theft Auto 5's video editor is going to be coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One next month. And or I should say in September. When in September? Not sure yet. But they're going to be adding, you know, that update so you can check it out on there. I think it's also supposed to come out on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 at some point, but that's a little later on.
Hmm.
But pretty cool to see that the video mode is going to be coming out as well. I really need to go back and play more Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm just so disappointed that they haven't released any story DLC. Yes, absolutely. You need to do that. It's a great game. I don't understand why.
No, you're... I know. There's lots of great games I miss out on because there's only 24 hours in a day. So, anyhow, I got some stories for you guys as well. Not coming to the 360 and the PlayStation 3. I mean, you might be getting your Grand Theft Auto video editor, but you're not going to get Mortal Kombat X. That's right. Mortal Kombat X for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 has been officially canceled by Warner Brothers in a statement. They said, after months of development, Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment has come to the regrettable conclusion that we cannot release Mortal Kombat X for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. Please know our teams worked diligently to meet the quality standards set by the current gen versions of the game. We were not able to get the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions to the quality expected of a Mortal Kombat game and are very sorry for not being able to deliver the products as originally planned.
You mean you're not going to release it like you did Batman?
maybe you joke about that, but maybe that sure taught him a lesson.
I
that it
honestly
be damn
did
good.
When they delayed it for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, I kind of figured it wasn't coming out.
Well, and my thought is, honestly, is that the adoption rate of PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, I think, has been a lot more than maybe we saw in the last generation of people adopting, you know, PlayStation 3 from PlayStation 2 and so forth. Maybe that's been a lot faster, that ratio. So maybe they don't really see the value in put. I mean, because let's be real, most people that were interested in that game just fucking bought a PlayStation 4 and bought it, you know. Or, you know, I'm sure there are some people that are upset that are still on the last gen consoles, but, you know, the reality is those newer consoles are going to look more and more, you know, hopefully affordable. There hopefully will be a price drop coming again soon. And then you can pick up one of those consoles. And then the year-end edition of Mortal Kombat X will be out that includes all that DLC. That's the one I've been waiting for. So,
you know which version of Mortal Kombat I've been waiting for?
What's that?
The PlayStation Plus free edition.
Well, didn't they give away Mortal Kombat 9?
No, they gave Injustice, which I still haven't played.
That's right. They did. So there it is. Tiger Claw saying the short answer to this, the 360 and the PS3 isn't powerful enough. It's interesting they didn't figure that out a lot sooner, though.
I think that I just think that they focused on the next gen version or the current gen versions, and just I don't think that they were ever going to put it out on those platforms. And
if they did, it would have looked like Mortal Kombat on the Game Boy.
Shouldn't be a surprise. Look at all these other games that they had earmarked for, you know, current gen or last gen that just didn't happen, like Mad Max or Dying Light or Mortal Kombat or I don't know. Probably Just Cause 3 at one point, you know, so it's, I'm kind of expecting it at this point.
All right. Well, let's see. Moving on to another story here. This is interesting. There is a Mario Maker level that's out there because, you know, Mario Maker is available for the press right now and probably some early leaked copies as well. And there's a Mario Maker level out there that is actually trolling people. This is the one that Jason was referencing in the intro of the show. It actually says on the level notes and that it's an all amiibo costume level, basically. And it's even in the featured section of the user-created courses. But when you load up the level, Mario suddenly spawns on a conveyor belt, and the following thing happens.
So and the best part about that, though, is they have like a block at the end that's supposed to have a costume in there, but it spawns after you've already cleared the level, which I thought was funny.
I thought that was funny as well. I don't know. Some people are hearing a sound in the background I don't know what that is. It's probably one of these other windows from one of these websites I'm on making a sound in their ad or something, so I'll try to close these windows quickly. I don't know about that. Sorry, I'm hearing it too, but it's just a couple times. I thought it might have been the video for that level. We'll see. Now, for these very naughty levels, Super Mario Maker is not going to have a filter, but there will be a report button. In a statement by Nintendo, all players will be able to report any content they think is inappropriate by clicking a button in the game. The level will then be reviewed by Nintendo. So for all those of you that are getting ready to draw the giant penis and the giant boobs and butts in your Mario levels, watch out, because somebody's going to click the button, and then Nintendo's going to shut you down. There it is. This is neat. Puzzle Quest. I kind of wondered what happened to that series. I knew they were doing stuff with Marvel, because they have the whole Marvel Puzzle Quest, but it's not going to end there. I guess they have Adventure Time. So I didn't even know there was a Puzzle Quest Adventure Time.
I remember
but
hearing about that, yeah.
D3 Go is doing another Puzzle Quest game. And this one will be of great interest to at least one of our listeners. I wonder if Raginator's paying attention right now, because I think he's going to be into this. Because in the next Puzzle Quest game, you will be doing Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest. That's right. It's a Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest game. It's going to be free to play, and you can build up creatures, spells, and artifacts in the game, I imagine. It's probably going to play out a lot like the Marvel Puzzle Quest does, just with, you know, Magic the Gathering
D3
cards.
Another
like that.
Company that went from being a game publisher to mobile developer. ironically enough, at the time when I was working at the game distributor, they actually were repped by, the rep that was working for D3, he had actually worked for Konami at one time too, so that was kind of funny. He repped for both.
Yeah, it's a small industry. That's
small
why,
industry, yeah.
You don't want to burn your bridges.
Except the credit for D3, they didn't act like complete assholes when they were exiting the market, whereas Konami, they're taking the extra step.
All right, well, moving on to one more thing from me here, and this has to do with cover plates for the new 3DSs. Sadly, it's not going to do us a lick of good here in the States because we don't have the new 3DSs with interchangeable faceplates because we only got the new 3DS XLs. But for those countries that have the tinier ones, namely Europe, there are some new cover plates coming out on November 27th. There is a cool little Yoshi one with like a green and blue and yellow and pink Yoshi, you know, being all cute and Yoshi. But most importantly, a Hello Kitty faceplate coming out on November 27th. And this just makes me even more angry we don't have this here. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't even really want a new 3DS anyway. What's the reason for me to get a new 3DS? I still don't understand.
It's new.
Oh. Oh,
because it'll play those games that the 3DS.
Wait, one game? Xenoblade that's already on the
Wii
anyway.
That's what they're
going
to name the system. It's going to be the new Wii U.
The new Wii U.
It'll play all the Wii U games, but it's going to be more powerful.
For a whole new U.
A whole new Wii U.
Yes, all right. Let's get to the Fugle question of the week. Every week, we go to our Facebook and our Google Plus communities. Yes, there's still people on Google Plus. So we go to Facebook and Google Plus. You take those, slam them together, and you get Fugle. You know, a lot of people this week talking about the Shovel Knight amiibo, and, you know, understandably so. There's, it's pretty cool to see Nintendo embracing an indie game like that and putting it right alongside their flagship characters, in a way, even if it's being handled a little bit differently. So this week we thought, you know, I don't want to ask about amiibo specifically, because I know some people are like, I'm not going to get any amiibo, screw those things, right, Logie? But I did want to talk about collectibles in general. With the Shovel Knight thing coming out, you know, that's a pretty, I don't want to say obscure, but it's not, certainly not a video game collectible I don't think anyone was expecting to be able to get. So I wanted to ask the listeners this week, what video game character that doesn't yet have a physical toy or collectible available would you like to buy a collectible for? So let's get to some of the answers. We'll actually start with Google Plus tonight. And we'll say Redertainment starting us off, saying, Henry Rollins was in Def Jam Fight for New York. Where's my Henry Rollins action figure? I would actually think Henry Rollins has a brand strong enough where he would have a doll or something, but maybe not. I could support that. I could support a Henry Rollins action figure. Act Deft in our chat room says, well, I already have a Shovel Knight plush, and I'm definitely getting the amiibo, so I'm happy so far. But if there's a character I would like to have a collectible of, a character that hasn't gotten one yet, is the Wonderful 101. Seriously, figures or amiibo of those guys would be awesome. That was a really hyped Wii U game that, you know, I don't know if it met sales expectations or whatever, because you haven't heard a lot about it since then, but I know there's a lot of hardcore fans of that game. That would make sense. That would make sense also as a character in Smash Brothers, but we'll see. Brosame says, Sarabella from Skullgirls. Her design is too cool to not have an amiibo-style figure. Actually, on second thought, pretty much all of the Skullgirls need figures. That art is outstanding. That's a good thought there. So the Skullgirls there. Let's go over to Facebook, where we have some different answers. Facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio, where Fabrice A. says, the car from Daytona, USA, is just so iconic to me. I want one of those. Oh, and maybe Opa Opa. Those are some good answers. Vehicles. As why not?
I bet Opa Opa probably has a figure.
You would think there'd be something. Sega really thrives on that nostalgia, but it's probably only in Japan. And Fabrice, I know, is in Belgium. So if he wants an Opa Opa, he's probably going to have to import it. Silent Tom replied and said, I would love to have a Wolf Link in wolf form from the Twilight Princess amiibo. And, of course, a Tingle amiibo.
And there is an Opa Opa figure, by the way.
Is there?
Yep. Oh, it's nice. On PlayAsia.
There you go.
So you can't buy it anymore, though.
Anyway, Tom finishes here saying, that would make the world a better place. If I can't get Loki in a Tingle costume, this is the next best thing, a Tingle amiibo. There was some guy that dressed up as Tingle. I saw the pictures from PAX. And
oh, good, then I don't have to do it.
Andy R. said, for the longest time, I really wanted the Edelweiss tank from Valkyria Chronicles. Someone finally made a model kit, so I guess I already got what I wanted. Now I just want the time to paint and assemble it. Degenerate Johnny says, I'm afraid I must live up to my name and say that I would push a bitch down the stairs for the Great Mighty Pooh toy. What would make that toy better is if it would sing the Great Mighty Pooh song. William Murderface says, my joke answer is Isaac from The Binding of Isaac. I love that William Murderface answered after the guy that wants the Great Mighty Pooh and said, this is my joke answer. No. My serious answer is Sora, Riku, and Kairi from Kingdom Hearts. I will say, as far as figures go, the only time I ever saw something Kingdom Hearts related in Disneyland, I saw a statue of Sora in the off-the-page store. And I really regret to this day not buying it. But, you know, I wasn't in, even though I was going to Disneyland a lot, I wasn't quite in the same financial place then as I am now. So I wish, really wish I would have picked that up, but I didn't. But I will say that there's at least like some statues and some things like that. And I don't know if maybe Tokyo Sea or anything over in Japan might have a little more of a presence of those characters. But that's probably going to be your best luck. But I think I bet you could find Kingdom Hearts stuff. Just a lot of it's probably going to be imported from Japan. And lastly, Justin H. says, Fallout 3 Vault Dweller in any power armor, though the Tesla armor would be the best. So some Fallout love there. I wonder if he's ordered the special Fallout 4 edition with the whole thing that you strap on your arm, that you can put your phone in. That looked crazy. What did they call that thing in Fallout? I can't remember all of a sudden. The electronic device. That's like your second screen. That's it, the Pip-Boy limited edition thing. All right, that's it for our frugal question of the week. Facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio or Google.com/+Orange Lounge Radio. All right, ActDef saying that there are figures for Sora and Riku. There are Play Arts figures. Not sure about Kairi, though. That's right, I forgot about the Play Arts figures. So check that out.
I want... I saw a fan made one, but I want a Lego set for the Metal Slug, and then I also want a figure for Sophia the Third and Bionic Commando. Not the shitty hot dog arms Bionic Commando. I'm talking about the old Bionic Commando.
I want the Guardian from the Guardian Legend, because maybe this would encourage like there to be a new Guardian Legend game. I think that would be the best thing ever. Outside of that, I would want Sophia, the vehicle from Blaster Master, since somebody brought up vehicles earlier. That would be amazing. Or actually, I want to say there might actually be Blaster Master stuff out there. I actually think there was a Sophia something like a long time
ago. There is, and I looked.
Oh, did you really?
Yep.
And then lastly, my third answer would be a Number Muncher. And I'm really throwing it old school. And some Troggles while we're at it. I want a Number Muncher and some Troggles, and then I can actually put them on a board with numbers on it. Come on. You'd want to see that. There it is, our frugal question of the week. Let's get back into some more gaming news. We will be opening up the Skype line later, 1-877-GAME-OLR, or username on Skype,
Rob,
Orange.
I'm not sure you're aware, but they do have Number Munchers. You can purchase that on the iTunes store.
Wait. Number Munchers on the iTunes store?
Yeah,
what?
The iOS store. Yep, they have Number Munchers.
Oh, like the classic game, like reimagined or whatever?
Yeah, like the classic game. I'm just trying to see some screenshots.
That's kind of rad, actually. I actually am just looking up Amazon.com right now, and they actually have Number Munchers for PC and Mac, but this looks old. This looks old.
That ain't going to run on your PC.
Yeah, it's going to run super speed where the Troggles just fly around the board and fuck you up before you can figure out which of the numbers on the board are multiples of 7. It's the worst stage. Multiples of 2, 3, I can handle that. Multiples of 7? Fuck off.
Yeah, they have a picture of the new version. It's kind of, I don't know, it's different.
I have to check that out. I'm really curious now. I had no idea then. Of course, though, that's how they get us 30-somethings is, hey, guys, remember when Math Blasters was awesome? So... yeah, I gotta look some of this stuff up. So meanwhile, Logie's gonna get into some news.
So other things you can spend your money on, it's DLC for certain games. In fact, one game, Galgun Double Piece, which is out in Japan right now, but not yet here. Although they are supposed to be bringing it over here, you can actually get the DLC. It's the Pheromone Z DLC that allows you to zoom in and see through high school aged girls' clothes for the low price of 10,000 yen. Which they say is about $83. $83 for DLC? That is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money for DLC. Way too much money for DLC.
So it's... Galgun is... it's like an on-rail shooter game. I played the one on Xbox 360, and it was silly. I mean, I don't know. You have like some gun that causes them to experience an ecstasy-like state after seemingly orgasming. Thank you, Japan.
And then, of course, Galaga and Double Peace is out in Japan right now on PlayStation 4 and Vita, and is supposed to be coming out over here at some point. But, yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Also, with that, they're saying that that DLC, not only does it allow you to see through their clothes, but it makes all the girls flat-chested or heavily endowed boob-wise.
Lord.
So, that's special. But $100?
If Jamie were here and not at Weird Al, I'm sure she would be saying something like
it.
This.
It's not worth it for like that kind of money. That's just not worth it.
That's too much money.
Maybe we'll get that included in the U.S.
For that much money, you could go see real boobs at a nearby juice bar, right?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. I don't think... I think this game's going to be a little more classy than this, showing boobs and all that stuff. But no, this game looks like it's going to be pretty cool based on some of the previews we're seeing coming out of PAX. And it's Cliff Bleszinski's newest game. You know, of course, he was a big part of Unreal Tournament and Gears of War. You heard about Project Blue Streak previously. Well, we finally figured out what that really is over the weekend. It is a game called Lawbreakers. It is what they are calling a futuristic first-person arena shooter. And there's a couple trailers that came out of this. There was a CGI trailer, basically, and there was a gameplay trailer. And the reason why they call it Lawbreakers is because it sounds like there's this whole thing about mankind has been recovering from a gravity-altering cataclysmic event. So what is the law you're breaking? The law of gravity. So, interesting. So now there's two factions, a peacekeeping organization and a crime syndicate, that are at war with each other. And I was watching a little bit of the gameplay videos. I'm sure many of you were. And it was featuring a lot of different characters. And it did look like really like fluid kind of combat. Like one of them was kind of like swinging, like grappling hook type of stuff. And another one would go into a mode where it was like you could kind of heat detect people that were nearby. So it seems really cool. I got to say, I was reminded an awful lot of Overwatch. Just with the whole different characterizations and like the fact that everybody's very distinct. Not that I'm saying the two games are the same, because I think Overwatch definitely has a big Team Fortress feel to it with these characters, whereas this I think is probably going to be more of a melee kind of free-for-all sort of thing. But I'm very curious. I'm very curious to see where this goes. I don't play a lot of first-person shooters, but I was interested in what I saw, so good luck to them as they continue development on Lawbreakers. I liked a lot of the characters I was seeing in that gameplay video. It looked pretty cool. So...
All right. So this has been a while, and I kind of forgot all about it. But apparently the whole Vita false advertisement settlement thing, they had a class action lawsuit, that is supposed to be paying out soon. And I guess they've been sending out emails. Now, I remember they had a settlement site that went live in April and offered eligible Vita owners $25 in cash, $25 in PlayStation Store credit, or 3 game bundles for PlayStation 3 and the Vita. I think I picked the PlayStation Store credit, although I haven't seen anything hit my email yet on that.
Oh, yeah. Did I fill that out? Now I'm worried. Did I get in on that? I think I did.
Which begs the question, Red Bull, where the fuck is my fucking vouchers for Red Bull?
Right. You were all excited.
You know,
because it doesn't actually give you wings.
And I'm not an idiot that knows, I'm not an idiot that thinks that it's going to actually give me wings, but you promised me fucking $10 worth of Red Bull vouchers. And yes, I may have signed up myself and my other family members in my house, even though they don't drink Red Bull, but still I expect at least one set of vouchers coming my way. And I still haven't seen that. And I'm very disappointed.
I still can't believe they have to give away free product because
people are fucking dumb.
They lied, and the product does not actually give you wings. I'm sorry, it's funny.
People are dumb.
People are super.
Why
dumb.
Am I not gifted the power of flight for $250? You know, I don't understand.
Oh God! All right,
marijuana get you high.
Well, moving on, this is a very interesting contest coming out of Hasbro. It's called The Next Great Game. And even though this is a little more about board games, let's be real, a lot of board games and video games get tied together a lot. A lot of great video games actually came from board games, and a lot of great board games come from video game franchises. Like, I still kind of want that Mass Effect 3 Risk set, just saying. Anyway... So this is more about board games, but you know, Hasbro, they put out a lot of huge board games. So until September 30th, 2015, you can actually go to their website and submit an entry. You know, what is the next great board game is nextgreatgamechallenge.com. Now, they will announce five finalists on October 30th. But here's the kind of hilarious part. You don't get prize money if you're one of the five winners. You get to launch an Indiegogo campaign to raise funds for your concept. And I made the, I had the same reaction because I'm like, wait a minute.
Like, I would fucking need Hasbro to go launch my own Indiegogo concept. I mean, that's fucking stupid.
Here's the thing, and I had that same reaction at first, but then reading a little more into it, because I think Hasbro knew a lot of people would laugh at this. Hasbro is promising to use its web presence to promote your project. So it's not, I mean, anybody can launch an Indiegogo, but to have Hasbro, a board game making company, actually promote that Indiegogo, okay, well, that's something, I guess. It's a little more. It's more than nothing. But Hasbro and Indiegogo apparently going to work with you to build the crowdfunding campaign page. It will end on December 1st, 2015, and then a team of Hasbro game developers will scrutinize all the finalists and announce one grand prize winner in late December. And if you get the top prize, then Hasbro gives you $10,000 in your pocket, flies you to Rhode Island sometime between December and January to actually turn your idea into a reality. So that is kind of... it's kind of weird that, like, the finalists all go to Indiegogo, and then Hasbro will kind of finally pick one and take it under its wings. But maybe they're trying to see how the public gauges the games. I don't know. Kind of weird. By the way, you may not know this, but Hasbro actually went to the public before. Everybody got to vote on a Monopoly board piece, right? Or didn't we get to vote one off the island or something?
They were removing one.
Removed one in favor of another. Was it the Thimble that got the... that got the boot? I don't remember.
The boot that got the boot?
No. Did the boot get the boot? I don't remember. Somebody in the chat probably knows. And then there actually was a new word added to Scrabble's dictionary. I didn't even know about that. The contest website's terms of service says that you do retain your ownership of all the intellectual property rights in the submission, copyrights, trademarks,
and patents.
But we
retain the rights to make a shitty movie sequel to it.
That's right. Maybe that's what they get as a shitty movie sequel. I don't know. Now I want to know what word they added to the Scrabble dictionary as a result of that.
Microbe.
I'm going to research that while you do the next story, Logie.
All right. So unfortunately, even though they launched, you know, the sequel to Angry Birds, Rovio is still cutting jobs, and they had to cut their jobs by 260 employees. And they're saying now that that's the total layoffs now between, I guess, now in October. It's about 40% of the staff that they had in October of last year. So, I don't know. That sucks, I guess. They're saying right now that they've completed a round of, laid off some people back in December. That was 110 employees so far. I think grand total is just, you know, the 260 jobs total. So, I don't know. But I guess they're still not doing as great with Angry Birds 2. But aren't they supposed to be having, like, a movie coming out soon or something like that? Like, I give a shit about that. I don't know. But I thought there was supposed to be an Angry Birds movie coming out soon.
Hmm.
Within, like, the year or so.
All right. Results of what I was looking up earlier, they did add a cat piece to Monopoly in 2013. That was the one that was voted in. And what lost was the robot, the guitar, the helicopter, and the ring were the losing pieces. But it doesn't appear... oh, no, they did. They got rid of the iron. The iron got voted off the island in favor of a cat.
Yeah, the iron was kind of lame.
The iron was super lame.
It was like an old school iron, too. It's like, everyone's like, what the fuck is this?
However, I'm not able to find out what the word is that they added into Scrabble, although Seattle says it was a bunch of texting shorthand. I thought it was just one word. I thought that was the deal. I don't know. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Nascent Games is commenting on what you just talked about, Loki, saying Rovio cutting jobs. I can't even say I feel bad about that. Even King did layoffs.
Yeah,
pathetic.
It actually, they did add lots of words. It's let's see here. This was actually earlier this year. So they added, let's see here, emoji, bezzy, wah.
That was a cool DDR song, wah.
Well, it's W-A-H-H.
Oh.
Let's see here.
All right. Yeah,
I think that was something different because that was 6,500 words.
All of Scrabble is knowing those shitty little two-letter words. That you can just totally fuck somebody up by building a one word off another word, and then you make like two words out of it because you knew some two-letter word and all that. That's all the strategy in Scrabble. If you don't know how to do that, you're not going to win against people who do, because that's how the points just start, you know, chaining. And then everybody likes to build an S on the end of your words, and then again you get credit for two words. We're talking Scrabble strategy here on Orange Lounge Radio. Act Deft in chat says, "Wah, Wario and Waluigi are on the Scrabble New Words
Wah.
Committee."
Wah!
Lord. All right. Let's get to the mailbag. We invite emails from you guys every week to our mailbag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send emails. Let's go into the mailbag. We're going to dive in head first and pull out the emails that you guys have sent us this week. Well, it's been pretty empty for the past couple weeks, but thank God we're saved it this week with an email. By the way, you got to love that Dark Sakura last week said, "Send us lots of emails. Send us tons of email." And then she doesn't come this week to read it all. But nobody listened to her anyway except one person. We did get one email this week, so thank you to Robert M. for sending this email. And I'm hoping that you guys will flood the mailbag over the next 2 weeks and make Dark Sakura work when she comes back in a couple weeks here on the show. All right, so anyway, here we go with Robert M.'s email tonight. "It's been a very long time since Video Games Live performed here, and if one of my concerns was a lack of musical variety from the Legend of Zelda portion, the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra will be performing the Symphony of the Goddesses concert around the weekend of Loki's birthday." Did you know, by the way, Loki, Symphony of the Goddesses was in San Francisco last night?
No.
No, I didn't know that either until I saw the pictures of my friends there on Facebook.
I would have totally been able to go. Nope, I know! I wouldn't have been able to totally go last night.
I totally...
Because I have a family who... I can't leave.
I would have been able to go, but I just had no idea that it was happening. Oh, well. I missed out. What can I say? "Well, Robert M. continues on the Symphony of the Goddesses tour. I doubt I'll have the opportunity to see this one myself, but hopefully any other fans you have out here can report in." Yeah, check those tour dates for Symphony of the Goddesses, because I just missed it in San Francisco, but that means it's probably, and if it's going to be where Robert M. is around Loki's birthday, that's just in a couple weeks, so they must be touring right now, so check that out. Robert M. continues with one more thing on the email. "One thing I would like to check out, though, is the Mastermind Room Escape across from the Arch. Have any of you tried out such puzzle rooms?" And that is from Robert M. Are you familiar, Loki, with the puzzle room thing? This is some trend.
No, I haven't heard of the puzzle room, but I've heard of Mastermind, or I've seen videos of it. I know what that is. Isn't that the one where it's like a trip lasers basically in a room and you have to kind of step over them and stuff?
Well, I think depending on which one of these challenge rooms you go to, it's different, because I know they've done some in San Francisco. I have not been to one, but I've had friends that have gone, and from what
I thought Mastermind was like, they had one in Santa Cruz.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, these could all be different things too, but I think there's something where, like, you get on a team of 7 or 8 people and you're in a room and you're essentially quote unquote locked in the room. Now, of course, if you
live or die, make a choice.
No, it's not that bad. But
man, fell for this again.
If you can't figure it out in like 30 minutes or whatever the time limit is, then they say you lose, LOL, and they unlock and let you out. But I guess there's clues in the room on how to get out. So I don't know if there's like a combination. I don't know, because I haven't done one. And most of my friends that have gone, they don't want to spoil it for other people. So they just post pictures with like T-shirts that say, "We got out of the stupid room," or whatever it's called. So I have never done one myself, although I'm not opposed to doing it. It's just that, you know, we don't really get them here in Sacramento. I'd have to go to San Francisco to do something like that. And usually if I go to San Francisco, I'm not like, let me go get locked in a room today. There's usually other things
trapped
I
in
do.
The closet.
Anyway, let's see. VidPower is suggesting in our chat room, for anyone going to a future Zelda concert, use the coupon code HEYLISTEN. Does that really work? Hey, listen, all one word in caps. Who's getting the free kickbacks from that plug? That's what I want to know. Are you getting the kickbacks? I want to know. All right. Also, ActDeft reminding us that ActDeft actually wrote a review on our website a little while ago called the I Love That Concert, The Legend of Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses. That's right, because they rolled through Mexico, and ActDeft actually went to that concert as well. So that's cool. SSG100 Matt mentions... I've done two of those escape the room games. It's a lot of fun depending on the group you're with. I imagine it's a lot like Benihana. You ever been to Benihana? I know you love Benihana.
Yeah.
Okay, right? And usually the experience...
Can in one of those rooms, can I be locked in like with a Benihana chef? You know, where it's like, well, shit, I can't figure my way out, but at least I'm going to enjoy some food.
I think there was one in Japantown in San Francisco next to Benihana. So you're getting close.
That would motivate me. Oh, man, that smells so good. Gotta get out of this room.
You claw your way out of the room. Gotta get that teriyaki. Rah, Hulk smash. No, but I don't think they lock you in with Benihana, but they do lock you in. SJ100 Matt says they let you out. Oh, I was going to say about the Benihana. That whole experience can be made or broken by who you're sitting with at the table. Because sometimes you might get some pretty cool people. Like one time Grandpa and I went in Seattle, and it was like a bunch of like younger, like 20-somethings, I think, celebrating somebody just getting back from the military. So they were all drinking and having fun. And, you know, Grandpa being Grandpa was like, thank you for your service, and bought him a drink and, you know, all that stuff, right? So we had a great time at that Benihana. But I've also been to Benihana when it's like you got the family with their kids. And they're very, like, just, you know, not that I have a problem with kids, but sometimes other people's kids, you know, can you know, and they're just, it's out of control and that whole thing. And it's like, ugh, can I get any other table in the restaurant, right? So I imagine the escape the room thing is a lot like that. It could really depend on who you're locked in that room with, right?
Screaming baby in the room.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Why?
Why did you bring them in here?
Why'd you bring the baby to get locked in a room? So SG100 Matt says they do let you out. Some of them stay in the room with you so you don't break anything. Because people are dumb and try to break out the windows.
People would be dumb. I could see that.
Nascent Games says there is one in SAC. I didn't know there was one in SAC. Oh, my God. Wait. Nascent Games. Buddy, pal, Gabe, have you done the break out the room thing in SAC? Because if not, I'm thinking there's an OLR / IGDA / cool people trip in the works. Doesn't that sound like fun?
It's like Silent Hill, the room, minus the Silent Hill.
I like that idea. All right. Nascent Games says sold now. I love that. Raginator in chat says, can I be locked in one of those rooms with several Hooters girls and Playboy models, please? You pig. All right. SG100 Matt, further clarifying what the experience is like. There are a bunch of clues and riddles that you have to follow to. Some of the riddles involve finding a safe code with a black light on a certain page on a magazine that you find in another clue, etc. You can make an appointment with a group of friends. You don't always play with random people unless you want to. Bonds 006 says to be locked in a room with Rob. Okay. I'm not sure how to take that comment. I don't know if that was... I'm not sure how to take that. I'm not sure if I should be creeped out by that comment or if I should just say thank you. I like to talk, though, clearly. It's what I do for a living, and it's what I do here on this podcast. So you better be prepared for me to talk your ear off if you're going to get locked in one of these rooms with me. All right. There it is. That was our email there from Robert M. Thank you for sending that. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you'd like to send us an email for a future week. But in the meantime, it's time to get to the FUs of the week. We're going to get angsty here on the show. Why? Because it's tradition. It's tradition to get angry. Loki, since there's no Dark Soccer tonight, you can start us off.
I guess a few to retail customer service, maybe? I mean, I don't know, because, like, I've had an issue just today, and it's really random. Like, I've had two accounts broken into by somebody, one in my Walmart.com account, which I've used once, and one on my GameStop account, which I've never used online, except, you know, I have my Power Up Rewards card or whatever. So I had some points stored there, and I didn't even really know what those points are for. Apparently, they use some of them to purchase, like, a Kongregate card. So I'm like,
probably to resell it, and it's harder to trace.
Oh, I just like it's just weird. Kind of looking into like that Pwn.com or whatever like that. Apparently, I have my email's been associated with 5 websites that have been like, had exploits done to them. So I guess I don't know. I don't remember what my passwords were on those sites, but I changed them anyways. Well, at least I changed the one on GameStop, but Walmart.com, they like fucking switched the email it's associated with. I mean, how is that even possible? That's stupid. That is absolutely stupid that you can just say, okay, this account right here is just going to be associated with another email called customer service, and they're like, well, you don't see it associated with this email. I'm like, yeah, no shit. And they're like, well, you can just create another one. I'm like, well, what about billing information? Is that on there? Do you keep that stuff? I don't know. Maybe you should watch your bank account. Thanks. So,
call the bank for real. Make sure. I mean, I'm sure you already have, but they're usually the ones that can fix all that stuff. Because
I nothing's been charged to my account. Like I said, the only thing that the Walmart thing, I don't think I had any billing information there. We've only used it once to order something for my son last year, I have this stupid thing that you get points for or money for any price changes that happen, so that's tied to I think that account. So I mean, they have like maybe $20. I don't even know how to redeem that shit, so good luck. But yeah, the Power Up Rewards thing, it's not like, oh shit, it's more of like, this is annoying. I'm like, really, you bought this shit? I mean, you could have bought like a gift card or something.
At least if you're gonna steal stuff, buy something nice.
It's stupid. It's like, whatever, okay, cool. I mean, You stole that. I mean, I'm not missing it, but it's just like, really?
Well, I will give a related FU. I'm going to give an FU to credit card thieves because I actually had my debit card was used at some random-ass store in Indianapolis, I think, for like 70 cents. I think that was them just testing it to see if it would actually like take the money or not. And then somebody at Chuck E. Cheese in Southern California ran up like 60, 70 bucks. Thank God I caught it like right away. So I called the bank and they, they did their thing, which is interesting. I've had the same bank since like college. So I've had it a long time since my college. I've had a long time. I mean, and by a long time, I mean 3 years. But, I've had the same bank for a very long time. And this is the first time anything like this has ever happened to me. So I was just kind of like surprised. It was me. But thank God I've been checking my finance because of everything I'm going through with the job switch and everything. I'm checking my finances pretty religiously. So I caught that early on. So F you to credit card.
Yeah, and I'll be definitely watching my account. I mean, good luck. There's not any money in there, but I mean, sure. I don't think any credit card information, but it's like it was Adobe Boxy. Thank you, Boxy. Your thing's shit. And now that they've been exploited too. Gawker, but Gawker didn't have anything. God, I don't remember the other two. There was some other website, like forum that was on, but they didn't have anything. And then I don't remember the last one, but I remember Adobe's on there. I think, I don't know. So I'm assuming that they just were testing. Maybe I used the same password on that site. Who knows?
All right, get your dialing fingers ready because we're going to open up the Skype line at 1-877-GAME-OLR. Username on Skype is Orange Lounge Radio. Right after, two more stories here. And let's get to it. Loki.
This is pretty exciting. So Lionsgate announced that they're going to be working on a Borderlands movie. And I totally can see that. And I hope that actually comes out soon. It's supposed to be, I guess, produced by A.V. and Ari Arad. Who did the Iron Man movies and Spider-Man and X-Men. So,
oh, wow, yeah. That's a lot of big.
I mean, that should be pretty awesome. I don't know. There's been, like, Twitter has been, like, speculating on, who could play some good roles. And one of the suggestions was, I can't remember his name. The guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia playing a Handsome Jack. Glenn Howerton, I think, playing Handsome Jack. And that would be awesome. I could totally see that.
I wonder, though, if it's going to be like an original story with like original Vault Hunter, or different maybe. Vault Hunters than the game and so forth.
Maybe. I mean, I think that'd be cool.
Either way, I'm totally down to see this.
Tiger Claw in chat says, who should voice Claptrap?
Just get the guy that does the voice for Claptrap right now.
Get the guy who does it now.
I think, why not? It's iconic. You can't really change the voice.
I mean,
get the same dude.
If you can't get the same person, Ellen McClain.
No, that wouldn't work.
What can she do?
I seriously think they should just get the same guy that does the voice of Claptrap.
Yeah,
why not? It's a robot.
I think it should be the same person that is today. I hope that I actually really hope they don't stunt cast that role, but you can't help but have this sinking feeling that it'll be like Jack Black or something, and you're just like, God damn it, stop it. No offense to Jack Black.
No offense to Jack Black
don't,
either.
Don't
he hasn't
fucking
really been
voice
anything
Claptrap
in a long time. He needs some work.
All right. Yeah, Tiger Claw is saying the thing is they would probably cast a name actor to voice Claptrap. ActDev says, besides, GLaDOS and Claptrap are romantically involved. It would be awkward. All right, fine. Alan Alchemy says, Gilbert Gottfried as Claptrap.
I could see that, but yeah, it's just not quite the same.
Oh, my God. All right. AP all day in our chat room says Howard Stern for Claptrap. I don't know about that. That doesn't strike me as the type of thing that Howard Stern would even do either.
He's not.
Although
he's
then again,
not
he's
a silly robot voice.
He's a judge on that NBC show. I never thought he'd do something like that. So who knows? Who knows? Brad from Pod Culture suggests Peter Dinklage. Well, since they erased him from Destiny. Boy, that was pretty cruel what they did to him there.
Yeah, they pulled a total Kojima on him.
Yeah, didn't they? Boy, oh boy. All right. Or how about our pals from last week? How about Greg Berger or David Sobolov for the voice of Claptrap? Why not a shout out?
I just think they should just have the voice that was in there. See, and that's the other thing.
I do too. That's really
like,
what I.
And here's the other thing too: is like the new game for like and totally off topic here, but the new game that they have coming out for Lego Avengers has different voices from the original. They're going to have the actual voices from the movie actors in there. I'm like, no, I like the voices in there. They had fucking Troy Baker doing Loki. It was awesome. And I didn't even know it was him at first, and then like I watched, because we watched the movie that they have too, the animated movie, which I hope there is another animated movie that goes along with this one, but they had him do the voice, and I'm like, it was perfect. I don't change anything. Leave it the same.
All right, one more from our chat room where AP all day in our chat room says, okay, Morgan Freeman. Well, now, as much as I want to tell you no, Morgan Freeman really could just read the phone book, and I think I'd listen to that. So, I'm gonna be okay with that answer. Morgan Freeman, if not Betty White. All right, one more story here about Castlevania. That's right, I got a story about something new in the Castlevania universe.
I shudder to find out what this is.
Yeah, sit down, because it's not a game. But on the bright side, it's not a pachinko machine either.
Oh, well, that's really...
And this is actually a team-up with Adi Shankar, who is behind Dread and Power Rangers, I did not realize was the producer over there, announced on Facebook that he's going to make a super violent miniseries based on Castlevania III Dracula's Curse, together with Fred Seibert and Kevin Klond. Fred Seibert is already a big name in animated television, so that's pretty cool. Shankar says it's going to be dark, satirical, and after a decade of propaganda, it will flip the vampire subgenre on its head. So I'm assuming that means... F.U. Twilight is what I'm reading into that when I hear a decade of propaganda and flipping.
Well, everybody's been already saying F.U. Twilight, I mean, since Twilight came out.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, so that's interesting. That's going to be cool if they actually bring that to fruition. So yeah, Castlevania, super violent miniseries.
I'd be down with that. That's fine. It's not like Saturday morning cartoon material.
Yeah.
Like I think, back to, was it Captain Power? No.
And there's a part of me that's like, well, God, what TV network's going to want to air something like this? But we live in a world now where you could shop this to Netflix, Hulu, or some of those Crunchyroll and some of those things that specialize in animated series. Like, that's the type of world we're in now where, this series could find a home somewhere else and be okay and make some money.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even really necessarily have to be on TV. We'll see. All right. We're going to open up the Skype line. It is time. 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. That's all one word. Give us a call if you'd like to talk about anything we've talked about tonight or perhaps something different. Wow, it's lighting up already. Let's get to it. Jeez, lots of people trying to get in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Akdeft.
Hey, buddy. Akdeft, how you doing?
Pretty great since I got the first call.
Congratulations. There's a lot of people trying to get in. You got lucky. What's up?
Well, I could talk about a lot of things, but you didn't talk about something, well, maybe not as big as other stories. But you remember the My Little Pony fighting game a few years back? Fighting is Magic?
Yes, Fighting is Magic, because didn't they end up, they kind of got shut down, but then they were going to get teamed up with somebody else. Like, it was like kind of like an interesting resolution. Like, it wasn't just a cease and desist. It was like more one of those, well, we got to shut you down, but we'll work with you type of things, right?
Yeah, basically, they got shut down by Hasbro.
Right.
They got a C&D. Mm-hmm. But eventually, the creator of Friendship is Magic teamed up with them to make a new game, at least a new design and new characters and all that stuff.
Okay.
And after years of working on it and getting the Skullgirls engine, they're finally going to launch their fundraising campaign.
Oh, so they're still going to go to Kickstarter or one of those places to actually fund, I'm assuming, the distribution for the game.
Yeah, okay. Basically.
Hmm. Does the game have a name?
Yeah, they announced the name and the Kickstarter campaign a few days back. The name is going to be Them's Fighting Herds.
I kind of love it. Like, I want to sit here and go, that's so stupid, but I kind of love how, like, awful it is. I kind of love it. Especially when you consider the long, sordid story behind the game. It's kind of perfect. So kudos to whoever wrote that one on the board.
Yeah, that was pretty fantastic when I first heard it. So I'm pretty excited about this. The campaign is going to launch on Indiegogo September 21st.
Really? They're going to go to Indiegogo? Because that's where Hasbro goes for their stuff, too, which you might have heard earlier in the show.
Yeah, that's a pretty big coincidence. But, yeah, that's at least they're going to now release the Kickstarter. They were planning on since all this happened. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty great to finally see what's going to come for this game. They're going to be announcing new characters, stages, all that stuff, music even, this following weeks before the Kickstarter launches. So it's going to be great. I'm definitely going to fund, or at least to help fund this one.
And you know why they go to Kickstarter, why they go to Indiegogo as well, is because it's different than Kickstarter, where in Kickstarter, if you don't make the goal, which, you know, some things like what Red Ash damn near didn't and some of that other stuff, you don't get any of the money. But on a site like Indiegogo, you get to pocket at least whatever is made. So that at least seems to lend credit to the fact that this game will come out one way or another, no matter what. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have backed something on Indiegogo that was the Skullgirls PC port. Mm. So yeah, I'm pretty glad they chose Indiegogo for this, because the game will come out in some way or another. Hopefully they will raise, and they will raise the whole amount they will ask for. But
yeah, with the cult-like fandom behind My Little Pony, then I'm sure a lot of people moving on to this, it makes a lot of sense.
You'd be surprised. Sorry for interrupting you. You'd be surprised how many people are kind of against this, despite it of the fandom. But
yeah,
it's a small, it's a minority, but yeah, there are people mad at this.
Well, I'm of the school of thought, like, I'm not a brony or a My Little Pony fan, but I'm all about, you know what, whatever, dude, whatever you like, as long as you ain't hurting nobody, who cares, right? So if that's what you want to be into, awesome. So I love, though, the fact out of this that they kind of were able to rise up from getting shut down and really kind of take some coal and turn it into hopefully a diamond by, they got shut down by Hasbro, but they didn't let that stop them. In fact, they were able to team up with some of the influence there behind My Little Pony, create some new characters, and now, with a title like Them's Fightin' Herds, that might even put them in a better position. Who knows? Nassen Games in our chat says that's going to catch on because of how dumb it sounds. Hashtag America. Who cares as long as they get to cash the check at the end of the day, right? Who cares the motivations for people buying it, right?
And yeah, I got to play the original game, the Finest Magic one, mm-hmm. and it had a really good potential. So now with a really good engine which is the Schoolgirls one and all that resource put into this game, it looks like it's going to be fantastic. I really hope they do make the campaign, the work, and all that stuff. And I hope that not only the bronies and all the fandom, but fighting game people, like, it catches on.
So in other words, you're telling people, put your feelings on My Little Pony aside and just check out the damn game for itself and see if it has any merit, maybe brings some new stuff to the table and is importantly fun. And I can support that.
And absolutely. Heck, if you don't like ponies, the game won't have ponies. It will have a cow. It will have an alpaca.
That should be the tagline.
And a deer.
Absolutely no ponies, but maybe a cow. All right. ActDef, my friend, I'm going to let you go to get some more calls, but thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Take care. I still love that name more than anything, I've got to say. All right, let's get to the phones. We got more calls coming in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Sturlock.
Hey, Sturlock, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Long time no here. How you doing?
Yeah.
These days.
Been a while.
Good. What's on your mind?
So I kind of wanted to gush about a game I've been playing for a couple months, actually.
Gush away.
It's my mobile addiction. It's Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
I knew it. You know
Holy
what?
Holy fuck.
You and Alan both, I will sometimes I'll kind of like be trying to go to sleep or whatever, and Alan I'll see is on his phone looking at something, and I kind of look over, and sure enough, it's Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
Oh my God. I was so happy when, because I'm part of a forum called Audio Games, which is like, games that, blind people can play, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the game is playable with VoiceOver, which is the iPhone screen reader, basically.
Really? So, yeah, and, this is something that not everybody often considers when looking at games. But, you've said on the show before you're blind. And so, some games aren't accessible to you for that reason. So it's really awesome when a game is more accessible to get more gamers to be able to enjoy them. So with Final Fantasy, you actually can use your voice. It'll actually read to you, and you can use your voice. That's cool.
Well, not your voice itself. Just the screen reader itself is called VoiceOver.
Oh. Got it.
I could, if you want. I don't know how good radio this would make, but I could show you a little bit if you want.
Actually, I think that's a fabulous idea. If the audio doesn't come through good enough, then I'll shut it down. But, right now we're in radio. So everybody's blind right now and can't see what's going on. So imagine you're trying to play Final Fantasy Record Keeper and you can't necessarily see the screen. So what does it sound like?
Oh, you know what? It would probably help if I just a sec. Sorry. Open settings. I'm going to turn down my speech rate so everybody can understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, dang. So, but because, okay, is it true that if you aren't so strong in one sense that your other senses get a lot stronger?
Not to the extent that everybody thinks.
Well, probably not like superhero, but like the fact you can probably listen to things at that speed.
I wouldn't say they're enhanced,
mm-hmm.
but you tend to notice more things, like Actually, it's kind of funny, speaking of Record Keeper, Japan is getting Kefka in an event.
Oh, wow.
Like, now, basically.
But still no General Lero. I think you've placed us on hold, Sturlock. Hopefully, Sturlock accidentally placed us on hold because this thing came up that says call on hold. And I don't know if it's because maybe he's calling us from the same device he's trying to play Record Keeper on. But unfortunately, I'm unable to... okay, we're back.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. I saw you placed us on hold on accident. Get a big
No, I had auto answer on and I got a call.
That's okay.
All right. But yeah, like you. But anyway, somebody posted a video of his Kefka's Soul Break, and it has his infamous laugh in it. And there was actually a second time that he laughs in the animation, but it was kind of covered up by the rest of the animation.
Hmm.
And
wow. And I can hear it as he's tapping through the menu. It's reading like all the options you would expect. You know, some people will listen to this show at like 1.5 speed or 2 speed. And
that's
it's
crazy. I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know how people do that, but I think that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
That's okay. I will just speak slower so that it sounds normal to you.
And you can focus on every word I'm saying.
How is this? Is that understandable?
That's fine. It's good enough to give us an example here for time's sake. So go ahead.
All right. Now, it's not perfect. You do have to turn VoiceOver off because it won't see everything. So there are some things you have to turn VoiceOver off for. Text field. Oh, I'm in a dungeon. I forgot about this. Text field. Let's get out of that. Voice over on. FF on. Begin battle. Back. Oh, that's the bad thing, but... Menu. Link.
Listen. Gotcha. That's okay. Link. You weren't expecting to have to do it live.
That's all right. Link. All right, well, I'll go into the party menu here. Party. Link. If I can. Maybe I can't. World. Link. The party. Link. Party. Link. Yes, it's not going to be. There we go. I guess it's just being slow. Alright. I know, I'll show you what upgrading equipment is like.
Okay. Just a little bit more here, because we do want to move on to the next call. But this is interesting to me. And I notice a lot of people in chat are kind of like, there's a lot of people, some people are like, what the hell am I hearing right now? But then other people are like, well, this is interesting. I would have never kind of thought... This is what the game sounds like to some people.
Yeah. There we go. Upgrade something. Now, the weird thing is about this is a lot of the stuff is unlabeled, so I kind of have to go by memorization. Luckily, there's a lot of sorting options. So usually what I kind of tend to do is just kind of sort by newest and do it that way.
See, Alan chat says, just saying, I wish I had text speed settings as fast as his audio settings.
Right.
Nice. Well, that's, I don't know, this is very enlightening to hear kind of this whole thing. So let me go back to what you had originally talked about, is just like why you love the game. What's so addicting about the game to you?
Well, one, the fact that I can even play it.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing too is nothing shows with voiceover during battles, so it's all like memorizing where things are on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I had everything described to me, like where, like what the layout and stuff was. But anyway, why I really like the game is just like it's just a love letter to fans of 8 and 16 bit Final Fantasy fans. Mm-hmm. And visually, even with like the new stuff, like Lightning actually just had her event pretty recently. From Final Fantasy 13. And what they do with the more modern games is they kind of touch up the sprites to make them look more like 16-bit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like the fact that you can, it's kind of like, you know, theater rhythm where you can just kind of mishmash a whole bunch of different characters that, you know, normally wouldn't like. You know, next week we're getting Tella and Golbez from Final Fantasy IV.
But it's like you can have that dream party since Final Fantasy games are always independent of each other. It's like, what would happen if this character from this game and this character from this game actually went eventually? Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool when I played
it
too. I'm
really, really, really looking forward to eventually having like Golbez and Kefka and like Sephiroth, because yeah, Sephiroth's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the same party, like just it's amazing. Like
yeah, you
the
can have an all bad guy party. Kaiju in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, "Is this a battle game? It plays like old school Final Fantasy fights. Like you just do like a bunch of them in a row, kind of thing.
It's
right?
all fights. You don't actually like move around dungeons and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But it
is a little different because it is a free to play game. But you know, they capture the essence of the Final Fantasy battles pretty darn good, all things considered.
Yeah, they really do. Like take all the bravest." Remember how crap that game was?
Yeah.
Like, this is the complete opposite of All Bravest.
And the good thing about this, too, that I've noticed before is that the guys who made this are the same people that are going to be working on the Nintendo free-to-play stuff, because we heard about Nintendo going to mobile. So,
oh, nice.
Pretty cool. Kaiju says, where can I download this? Or whore, can
Store.
I whore, can I download this? I'm thinking autocorrect came into play there.
App Store and Google Play.
Yeah, it's on iOS and Android, so as long as you have one of those two, just check out the store on the device.
Also, if you're like me and you like playing two copies of the game, the global and Japanese versions are obviously independent of one another.
Mm-hmm.
So all you need is a Japanese iTunes account, at least if you're on iOS, and you're good to go.
Very cool. All right. Well, Sturlock, I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in one more call. But thanks for enlightening us on Final Fantasy Record Keeper. And it looks like you got one person to download it there and
nice.
Showing us a little bit about what that voiceover stuff sounds like for folks that, you know, need the help in reading the screen there. So,
yeah.
All right.
All right.
Take care, my friend.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Sturlock there, everybody, calling in. He hasn't called in the show for a while. I appreciate hearing from him. We'll try to squeeze in one more call here, 1-877-GAME-OLR, or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. Loki, do you want to, in last-minute stories, you want to get out
here? Yeah. So Jackbox Games announced that Fibbage 2 is going to be part of the Party Pack 2.
Oh, a Party Pack 2. Wow.
Yeah, and that's going to, they said it's going to include some sort of streaming mode. It's coming to PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this fall.
That's pretty cool.
And in an unrelated news, apparently I guess the VMAs are going on right now.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Kanye West announced he was running for president in 2020.
Good luck and stuff.
That'll be hilarious.
Is it true that I don't even understand why the VMAs are a thing? Because when did MTV play music videos in the past few years?
I don't know.
Late at night, I guess. Somebody correct me on that. I guess it's like in the wee morning hours they actually do. Anymore.
5 minutes between 12.
Yeah, right. But what was I going to say? I heard she was supposed to be surrounded by RuPaul's Drag Race drag queens at one point. Did that actually happen?
I don't know.
Or no.
And Wes Craven died from brain cancer.
Yeah, I saw that come through on Twitter. I guess he was probably battling that and didn't tell anybody about that, as a lot of the celebrities often do when they're battling those sorts of things.
And Notch is depressed. Are you sick, Notch? Let us know.
All right. Kaijudo in chat says, he said more than president. He made a lot of sense tonight. Great speech. He didn't interrupt anybody to do it, did he? I mean, as long as he was given the time or he won his award and was – he didn't interrupt anybody, though, to do it, right? All right. Anyhow.
Is his running mate going to be Taylor Swift?
Actually, that would be a good compliment because they, you know, she could speak to, you know, there were a lot of people in that whole debacle. Some were pro Kanye, some not so much. And maybe if they can come together to be on the same ticket, then anything is possible. They can fix the country together.
I think it would be ridiculous, but okay. I'll take ridiculous. I'll take ridiculous as ridiculous as like California was at that impromptu election that they had. With fucking Gary Coleman, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, the recall election. That stuff was crazy.
I will take as ridiculous as that.
All right. All right. Let's fit in one more call here on the line, and then we'll see if anybody else is going to call. What we're going to do. So, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Raginator.
Hey, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Two things of note. The first being a short story. For those that play games on Steam, and if you go over to Humble Bundle's store page, they're having an end of summer sale. Every day they change up what's up for sale
on the Humble Bundle. I feel like we had a story too, and I think I had to cut it for time, but I feel like there was something about that Humble Bundles expanded a lot of the charities you can actually donate to.
Yeah, 3,500 charities.
That's
now.
Pretty awesome. So that's cool.
And still think two was it? Well, that's free right now.
Where you can feel good at least about where some of your money goes when you buy games.
Yeah, and the nice thing is. I forget what the end date is for this one particular offer, but right at the top of the store page, you'll see that they're giving away for free Stealth 2, which is the sequel to Stealth Bastard.
Hmm.
So, and that's normally a $15 game on Steam. So I kind of played the original game a little bit on Steam. It seemed to like a decent game, so there's that. I did pick up the bundle of all the Don't Know Jack stuff for $3. So, that's the only thing I really got on Steam this week. Because I've been kind of dealing with all the stuff. This week, so, but, so if you want a free game, if you, go to the store, grab the free game, and while you're there getting a free game, might as well save money, get some stuff there, and while you're saving money, you're making a donation to charity.
Well, I like free games, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now that story is out of the way, now to get to the meat and potatoes of the call, I'm going to more or less repeat this for those that don't listen live and maybe don't necessarily listen to Bobby's show. Not to sound like a knocking Bobby show. It's a great show, just that not necessarily everyone's heard of the show. I'm usually not the one on VOD that gets into my own personal background and all that, just like you don't and Jamie and all that. This kind of sort of ties into video games very loosely. I'm the oldest of four siblings, and my youngest brother is 14 years my junior.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives way out in the suburbs of Buffalo, and every so often he does come into town. Case in point, a week and a half ago, he came to town one day, and he, whenever he comes into town and stops my place, he always wants to play Grand Theft Auto. Well, I just found out, I think it was Thursday, Thursday, the 27th, that apparently he got himself into a bit of trouble. If you excuse my phrasing, it's probably piss poor, phrasing, but he kind of did a little bit of real life Grand Theft Auto. And granted, the media really hasn't made the connection just yet. I'm willing to bet that within the near future, a whole shitstorm of attention between video game violence and real life violence is going to hit the news.
Hold on. I got to jump in here. I know this is an intensely personal story and so forth, but I'm sorry to hear that this is happening in your family right now. You said he did a Grand Theft Auto type of thing. Did he? He didn't kill anybody though, right? Jamie shared with me what you talked about with her last night, and I saw that he had threatened a taxi driver with a weapon, correct? He didn't hurt anybody, but he threatened, correct. And that's almost as bad, pretty much, in the eyes of the law.
In fact, a little while before I called, I sent you a PM. Private message in chat, with a direct link to the news story.
Right.
I'm just trying to shorten things down due to time constraints on the air. But
I understand. Speaking of time constraints, and I'm not. I apologize. I keep stepping on your toes. I'm not trying to. I know. But believe me, Raginator, you mentioned I don't talk about a lot of my personal stuff on the show. But this story hits home a lot closer than you think, and that's really what I'm going to say on that. But so believe it or not, I know some of what you're going through right now and what you're thinking and so forth. And it's interesting to me that you said that you worry that the media is going to jump on it and turn it into this video game type of situation and so forth. And you mentioned that he liked to play Grand Theft Auto with you, and then he does this thing where he holds a taxi driver at gunpoint and so forth. And maybe in your head you're thinking, oh God, what did I put the wrong idea in front of him by showing him Grand Theft Auto or something like that? Is it the video game's fault? You're asking the same question right now to yourself that I think a lot of people want to ask sometimes when tragedy happens. And not that this is even on the same level, Raginator, but just for example's sake only. When the whole thing happened with like Columbine and the tragedy that happened there, what did everybody want to know? It was about what was in those guys' heads. What made them do the things that they did? Was it the Marilyn Manson? Was it the video games? What is it that happened and made these people do that they were going to do? And honestly, as difficult as to hear as it is to hear in some of these situations, sometimes, Raginator, it's none of it. It was something that was going to happen, and unfortunately we tend to, in these situations, I think, kind of like blame ourselves or what could I have done to stop this, and especially considering that you have the relation that happened there and so forth. But Raginator, it's not your fault, and that's very important, because I'm going to tell the listener something that I have not talked about on the show in a very long time, and for good reason. My brother and I don't speak to each other, and there's a very good reason behind that. And part of it has to do with a situation that he put my family through many, many years ago. It's not exactly the type of thing that you're talking about, but it's similar. And I'm going to leave it at that. And the types of questions you're asking yourself right now, these were things that my mom was asking herself. What could I have done differently? This is my fault. Did I raise my kid wrong? What did I do? And I'm telling you, she didn't do anything wrong, and neither did you. So I just want you to know that. It's not the video game's fault. It's not your fault. It sucks that it happened, but it's not your fault.
Logically speaking, I do acknowledge that. The one thing I also think at the same time is that, like I said, once this does hit the media, both media and public at large like to look for a scapegoat. And this happens all the time. Hell, you brought up Columbine, so that's another example. And
yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's a scapegoat, and I'm not trying to yell at you and be like you're wrong, but I'm just trying to tell you. I'm telling you firmly, and I'm reassuring you because my family's asked themselves a lot of these questions when placed in a similar scenario. I'm just telling you from that experience, you will come to this conclusion someday. As much as it's going to be painful to get there, I think is that this was a situation that was probably going to happen anyway. And I know that might really sting to hear that in the moment, and I apologize. But unfortunately, when people sometimes need help, they lash out in ways that we would never expect to happen, Raginator. And that's just what happens. And it's really unfortunate. Yeah. And if there was easier access to mental health care in this country and blah, 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 I could go on and on and on. But you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah, you know what the weird thing is, though? For the past, roughly decade or so, he's been living in a group home. A company that runs several group homes. He's kind of bounced between, the various locations within that organization. He was living in one in the lower west side of Buffalo up until a couple of years ago. He moved to another location down in Olean, not too long ago. And I don't know if you're familiar with how group homes are run, but they're supposed to be staffed 24/7 by mental health professionals and all that. They give out medications, and all that.
So he was. Raginator, I know you definitely want to talk this through and so forth for the sake of our listenership and so forth. I don't think they want to hear all of these details because this is an intensely private scenario. But Raginator, what you're telling me and what I'm hearing in this is that he was sick. And sometimes when you're sick, you throw up and you do some things that are sometimes like beyond your control. You're sick, so you throw up, and you didn't want to throw up, but your body kind of made you throw up. I'm not saying it's necessarily like a cookie cutter type of situation, but you're telling me he's dealing with mental health issues. He threw up.
Yeah,
is what happened. And so, Raginator, I want you to try very hard. Try to take yourself out of the equation. This is not your fault. You can't change what happened. But now how are you going to move forward? And what can you do to maybe, be there for your brother in this scenario and so forth? Maybe you'll have a better outcome at the end of the day than maybe I did in my scenario. But, I mean, I'm not going to get into the rest. I've already said way too much about what I went through and so forth. So I hope for a better ending for you. And I'm glad at least, A, very important, nobody was hurt. That's the most important thing. People were certainly scared, but thank God nobody was hurt. That's the most important thing. And I will truly, keep you guys in my thoughts and hope that your brother's able to get the help that he needs. But again, not the video game's fault, not your fault.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my calls. Definitely appreciate it.
You're welcome, my friend.
Speak to you soon.
Yep, take care. Try to sleep well tonight. You know what? Play some games to take your mind off it. Believe it or not, it helps. All right.
Yeah, I would play games, games, and I've tried just that. It hasn't exactly helped as much. Even music really hasn't helped all that much. So.
Well, and it may just it may be a matter of just finding that thing. Try going outside, take a walk, maybe do something you never thought of doing before. Maybe take up a game-inspired craft project. Maybe you've always been curious, I've never actually tried painting, but maybe now I have all these feelings, I want to get that out. Or maybe I've never tried crafting. Just take this opportunity to try to do something you've never done before, and your body will tell you what that is. So, all right. Raginator, I'm sorry. I got to let you go, okay?
Sure, no problem.
Take care, my friend.
All right, have a good one.
Good luck. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. intensely personal scenarios here on Orange Lounge Radio. But, you know, I think, you know, even judging in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, a lot of people, you know, lending words of support and so forth. And you know, people, I think, reinforcing the fact this is not something, you know, Raginator caused by letting him play a video game or anything like that. Certainly not. SSJ 100 Matt. Lending the advice, go for a hike. It's what I do. Kaijudo says, you do it case by case. There's not one solution to rule them all. Akuma JP says, I go to a pet cafe when I have problems. And I know Raginator is a recent pet owner, so maybe you know, give some extra hugs to the kitty tonight and so forth. Anyway, I know that was a heavy call. Not exactly the note I wanted to end on, but since we are well past 9 o'clock, I do want to go ahead and shut down the Skype line. Thank you guys so much, though, for the calls. If you have some more thoughts you want to get out for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email in a future week. And, of course, you can always tweet us, twitter.com/OLR. And we're also on Facebook. As a reminder, we will not be here next week because of Dragon Con, but I hope you all guys all have a happy and safe Labor Day, no matter what it is you're doing in the upcoming weeks. Loki, I'm going to check in with you one more time to see if there's any last-minute stories or anything we might have missed.
Nah? Not really.
I think we're good to call it a night here. I think we made the three-hour mark tonight, or if we missed it, just barely, maybe because of the break in the middle of the show. So plenty of OLR to hold our listeners over. But if you desperately need something next week, you know, there's 600-plus episodes that maybe you haven't heard yet. And a lot of them are still up. I think all the episodes through 2008 are still on the Orange Lounge Radio servers. So there's a ton of stuff to listen to there. And also, I know there's an Orange Lounge Radio archive. And Dar Tetsuya is always in our chat room. And well, not always, but he's around. And he's also on the Vogue Network forums and can help you in tapping into the OL archive. It's not something we officially support, but it's kind of cool that it exists. And I love that it's a thing that, like, you know, people that wanted to hear old episodes kind of came together and built to distribute those old episodes. Though I think old OLR is so different from the OLR of today, you know, we can't forget our roots and where we came from as a show. So, all right. Well, it's time to go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. Loki, I'll start with you.
Seriously trying to get my game done. It will be done hopefully soon. It's just been really tired and distracted, and so I haven't been able to get, you know, mentally I haven't been able to work on my game during breaks at work. I just have like 15 minutes, and it's just like I just can't get into focus quick enough to be able to get anything done. So I'm trying, though. Soon, hopefully.
You're a busy guy.
It's really the few things I want to get done. Leaderboards, so that, you know, the demo's, you know, fun, because it's basically competing for time. So, you know, I wanted that to be done. And then aside from the leaderboards, really it's just menus and reskinning some of the stuff that's in there already, but mainly just the menus and like kind of title sequence stuff, and that's it.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. As you get more seniority at work, then you'll get the better shifts when it comes time for the bidding.
Well,
for
yeah, so I would have had a okay, because it's based on performance for 90% of it, and my performance is fucking awesome. The problem is, though, is they're like, well, we're going to change the way we're going to do our shift bids, and then they couldn't come to an agreement, and they're like, we're just going to leave. You can just stay on the same shift you were on before, except, you know, because we just got fully trained, I didn't get to pick a shift. I just got whatever shift was there, and they were all the shitty shifts.
That excuse they can't use next time.
So now I have to shift until the beginning of the year. So,
It'll get better. All right. My final thought tonight, I'm going to echo what SSJ 100 Matt said in our chat room. There needs to be a USL archive. I realize that most of the old Understation Live episodes aren't around anymore. I agree with that, especially with Travis and Jessica deciding to, drop the curtain and call it a night here at the end of the year. I think that would be a really great thing for people that maybe are just now realizing what they might have missed out on over the years. And that was a lot of fun. And you know, I wouldn't have learned a lot of the tricks that, you know, I'm using here on Orange Lounge Radio if it wasn't for my experience at Travis's house back in the good old days of Understation Live. So I'm just, you know, sending them more well wishes. Although I will be giving him lots of shit next week at Dragon Con, and I can't wait for that. So stay tuned for that. I'm so excited for Dragon Con this week. It's something I really need after this year. It's been a crazy year, but things are getting better. And Dragon Con is just going to hopefully be that nice little, like, you know, kind of like palate cleanser before things even take off even more and things are better and more live streaming and hopefully more efforts at VOG Network, because I know I've been slacking a little bit the past few months. So I apologize for that. But things will be getting better as we get into the year in 2016 and beyond. So thank you guys for being here tonight, Orange Lounge Radio. Really appreciate you guys tuning in and participating with the show. As we always say, if you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help spread the word, because it is the show where every gamer has a voice, but we don't know if the voices are out there, you know, if you're not sharing them. So please tell a friend. Also, you can always leave us a 5-star review on a nice place like iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you heard about this show. And I haven't seen a new review in a while. Granted, I haven't checked in the past couple weeks, but I haven't seen a new one in a while. So I bet there's someone out there who hasn't written one yet. So I would really appreciate that, because that all helps with the discoverability stuff and with, you know, thousands of gaming podcasts, many of them that pod faded years ago. Sometimes it's really hard to get discovered. So I really appreciate those of you that use the word of mouth. It's all the payment we need here at Orange Lounge Radio. That's going to do it. We will be back in 2 weeks to do it again. And I will see some of you guys at Dragon Con. Otherwise, we'll be back here in 2 weeks to talk about whatever gaming news should happen over the Labor Day weekend. Have a great holiday here in the States, whatever it is you do. And overseas, have a great couple of weeks. We'll see you next time on Orange Lounge Radio.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.